much about.
Yeah, there it is.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now you can hear it in the morning, Obama. And you can hear it in the evening, Obama. Black man and white woman shouting, Obama. Them hear the groove and them is moving, Obama.
We not rich like y'all. That's one thing y'all gonna have to understand. This year, we will be, because we have Barack Obama.
I hope he fails.
Everybody say hey! Oh, everybody scream!
Oh, how long are you gonna talk?
This is a clear case of failure.
And now...
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
What was that?
Nothing, sorry.
Our feature presentation.
Come on, he was taking pictures of 600-pound women.
Naked.
Naked.
Don't forget that.
He had an artistic vision that he could not appreciate, that's all.
I don't appreciate at all.
And by the way, you can take pictures of fat people with a regular camera.
No, I know. It's just...
You can take a picture of the Earth with a camera if you're far enough away.
Sure, so, but it's being far enough away that's the question.
I don't think they needed a wide-angle lens, I guess is what my point is.
She's really fat, is my point.
We are going to take your telephone calls for Kevin and Bean's Tuesday edition of What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. I need to hear the rest of Psycho Mike's story that he was telling us off the air that involved him running into the Octomom on Friday night and screaming at her. You don't have to tell the other part, Mike, but tell me about the reaction that you have when you see Nadia Suleiman, the woman who had the octuplets, and you go, my goal is to make her life miserable. I have so much passion against this lady that I want to scream at her in public.
The only thing that I want to hear now is the part that you don't want to tell.
You don't want that on the air, I'll tell you that.
Okay. When you see someone like the Octomom, who is a celebrity for all the wrong reasons, I think it's my job as part of the Kevin and Bean show to embarrass her, or at least get on TMZ somehow by being a jerk. Like, I don't know. That's the first thing that went through my head when I saw her walking out in the valet Friday night at the singles party.
She was there?
She was at a neighboring restaurant, okay. And she shares the valet with the building that we had the party at. And I happened to come out right at the same time. And... without hesitating, I started yelling at her. You're a blemish to society.
Nice.
You're a terrible human.
Nice.
But it didn't seem to work. I mean, I think she's accustomed to being yelled at because she didn't sweat it one bit.
Wow.
Just walk around.
You did the right thing. Now. You did the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to do that. You don't have a choice.
Look, I'm no fan of the Octomom, but if I were to run into her on the street, I don't think I would care enough about her to want to talk to her like that.
Well, you're a reasonable, mature adult.
Yeah, take it easy with that. Bean, please. If there was a kid in a wheelchair, Bean would have yelled at him.
Well, he deserves it because I just like the handicap so much. You
get
know
up!
That. Well, what would you have done, Kevin, if you'd have seen the Octomom? Would you have said anything to her?
No, I probably would have just been so weirded out that was her, and was that really her? I don't think I would have immediately.
And you might be afraid you'd get her pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah.
By looking at her.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't think so. But if it came to my mind, I probably would have. It just wouldn't have come to my mind.
Yeah.
What was the first thing you shouted? You're a blight on society?
Yeah.
Nice. How long did it take from the second you saw her and recognized her until you started yelling?
I don't know if it was blight on society. I think it was blemish to humanity was
okay.
My exact terminology.
Good enough.
It was probably 10 seconds because the first 10 seconds was,
right,
I
of
was
course.
Shocked. I was like, oh my
That's
God,
what I'm
it's
saying.
The Octomom.
Right.
And then I was,
and then you thought, well, at least I know she puts out, huh?
The words, like, went in my head, like block letters. I could see them forming in my brain. I have to get on TMZ, so that, you know, when we come back to the show, to this show on Tuesday morning, I could say, hey guys, did you see me on TMZ?
Did you get on TMZ?
No. No. And I was watching like crazy.
Well, here's the thing about that. Don't care if you're on TMZ.
I know.
But you yell at the Octomom, I'm in.
Yeah, well, you do care if I'm on TMZ for getting in a fight with the Octomom security guard. You totally would care.
Sure.
You totally would care.
Sure, but that's not the reason to do it. Even if TMZ wasn't there, you still yell at Octomom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But she's not OJ. She didn't kill a bunch of people.
No, but if you really think
about it. She just had too many babies.
What she's doing to taxpayers She's a pretty bad person, and she deserves to be yelled at.
All right, last question, then we're going to go to some calls.
And her kids aren't having a great time either, I'm sure.
Right.
How did she look? Because if you believe the tabloid covers that she's on, she's dropped all the weight and got surgery and looks amazing.
She has a
bathing
suit body.
Did they Photoshop that, or does she look all right?
She looks pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, she looks pretty good. For having that many babies come out of her belly that recently?
Yeah, she said 14 kids, remember.
And her face isn't that janky. I mean, it definitely has a little sense of a little too much plastic surgery.
Right.
But it's not that bad.
But you have to know how cavernous she is downstairs, right?
Oh, it's no just question. It's a debacle downstairs.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Throwing a hot dog down the hallway. That's what that is right there.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
All right. Well, good times. Are you guys going to go out on a second date? If you do, we'd like to pay for it.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Here's an interesting prize. If we get the right person, they're going to be ecstatic. If not, there's no way they could possibly care less. We're talking about a pair of two-day passes to the Lebowski Fest, including access to the movie party at the Wiltern April 2nd and the bowling party on April 3rd at Cal Bowl. Of course, that's the tribute that happens every year in Los Angeles to the movie The Big Lebowski. And there's some rumors that Jeff Bridges may attend this year, by the way. I heard it directly from his mouth that he may actually show up.
Exciting.
That would be cool.
I love that movie.
That's your prize for getting on the air. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Beans. What it do, nephew?
All right. Let's begin with Jordan. Get things on the right foot. Hey, Jordan.
Yo, K-Bean, what up?
Hey, what up, Jay? And
if I saw the Octomama, I'd be like, hey, aren't you that lady with the 8 vaginas?
Yeah, yes. It doesn't Hang work up. That way, but okay.
Yes. All right. Thanks for the call. Aren't you the lady with the 8 vaginas?
Let's try Brian on line 5. Hey, Brian. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Hey. So I was driving down the 110 to Denny's to get some gas, and I got up on Figueroa. Dude, there's a lot of good-looking hookers there. I mean, I don't know. Can I say that word on the air?
Good-looking?
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of tempted. It's kind of scary. A lot of cops, but I've never driven down that way, and it was kind of weird, you know?
I would have been shocked if they were good looking.
Yeah.
Personally, you see,
usually the good looking ones are not out in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Take a drive down yourself. There were a bunch of scary ones, but there was a group of like a good looking ones. It was just weird.
Yeah. No.
You know, what I'm hearing in your voice is that you regret that you did not stop. It sounds like,
or
you
that
are,
you regret you did.
You're you hitting yourself in the head, going, "Why did I stop? I should. They were so hot."
I thought about a couple of them, but yeah, you know, like I said, there's a lot of cops around, and I don't know, man, they could have been cops.
That's true.
Never know.
That happens. All right. Well, thanks for the call.
No problem.
Bye now.
What?
No idea.
It's a good tip for our listeners, though, who are feeling a little frisky today. Now Figueroa apparently is where they
need to go. That's the place to go.
Let's go to weird. Wouldn't that be weird, by the way, to be a female police officer and go through all the training and be ready to serve and protect? And you walk in and they go, "All right, we need you to dress up like a hooker, go out on the street and entrap dudes. That's your job today.
Whore it up."
I mean, that wouldn't be your first choice, would it? Or maybe there are women who really enjoy that kind of work. I just can't imagine.
No, I think not.
That's pretty crappy.
I would think not. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, boo.
What'd it do?
What's going on?
Okay, I'm married. I've been married for 7 years, right? And my wife, she's not fat, but there's potential because she has a fat mom and a fat sister.
So she has fat
and
potential.
Now,
okay.
And I'm I like feet. I like nice feet. Now she's not painting her toenails, feet are dry, and it's like she's letting herself go.
Mm.
She's over you.
How do I
approach that and without getting slapped or kicked out of the house for a while?
Well, you know, but you might have to approach it anyway. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be repercussions, but you just got to say, hey, what's going on with the fat?
Hey.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Wait a minute, though. You said she's not fat. They're fat. She's fine?
She's getting there. There's way
she started to let herself go, sounds like.
And how about you before we move on? Yeah. How are you looking from the day she married you to today?
I'm a little heavier. I'm not fat. I'm a little heavier.
Just like her.
You know, she's Mexican, so, you know, I eat good.
Sure. Yeah. So does she.
Well, all righty. I hear what's
I don't
going
think
on.
It matters how Chris looks. I don't think that's relevant here at all. But Lisa, tell me, is there a tactful way that he can bring it up to her that will be less offensive than other ways?
The only way
about the weight.
And we've done this before. We've taken calls about this. The only way is for him to say, honey, I think we should get into shape.
Oh,
let's
no.
start eating better and working out. That's the only way.
And I'd like to have my toes painted. How about you? Something like that.
Well, that's easy. That's easy. You just say something like, I love it. It's so hot when your toes are painted. You just couch it that way. That's yeah. not.
She already knows that.
Well, yeah. Say it again. She needs to be reminded.
Time yeah, to... You can't tell a woman something once.
Yeah,
it takes
come
a
on.
Long time for it to sink in.
I'm going to suggest time to move on.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we're ready to cut her loose for a couple of pounds here, Kelly.
Just saying. It's not just a couple of pounds, Bean. It's toenails.
Try what Lisa said to suggest that the two of you get into shape, and maybe that will ease the sting a little bit.
Will do. Will do.
All right. Good luck. Let us know how that goes.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You guys in trouble.
or head on down to Figueroa.
Yeah. Well, either way, sure.
Boom.
Sure.
Take care of yourself.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
We have highlights of the Olympic opening ceremonies.
Boo. Are they done?
Boring. Boy, that was boring.
Was it? I know better than to watch.
But at least it was 9 hours, so you got that going on.
There were some great parts, though. There were, of course, there are always parts that are boring, especially for a guy like you who hates history. But there were some great parts, too.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
right.
When you see the snow and the whales and the bears and the stars. I mean, they did some amazing stuff inside that venue on Friday night.
Having not sure. seen it, that sounds very odd.
Sure.
The snows and the whales.
Sure, there's that.
The homosexual is right.
We got the guys from Cypress Hill in today. They've got a brand new song.
How about that?
Cool. They're going to be here. Be Real and Sendog will be here. And Tom Morello apparently plays guitar on the song as well. So
did somebody order Mexican?
We're excited about
apparently
that.
Bobo is coming in too. Be Real, Sendog, and Bobo. So it's the whole Cypress Hill gang stopping by.
New Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup on the program today. We are going to talk to the screenwriter of The Hurt Locker, Mark Bowl.
Ah.
We are going to recap the singles party for you.
Okay.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and a little story about a friend of ours named Kevin Smith. Who
so sad.
Did not have the best weekend as he was thrown off a plane for being fat.
This is an interesting story, too, because I feel bad about what happened to Kevin. However, I think I and many of us have been the guy in the next seat when you have a super fat person who comes and sits down next to you and spills over.
Yeah.
It's Southwest is in a tough, tough spot in a situation like this as people get increasingly bigger and their seats get increasingly smaller.
But is he super fat?
Well, he says.
I don't think I'd go with that. But
he says that he can put both of the arm rests down and can right. buckle up. So technically, right. he's not too fat to fly.
Yeah. Well, that's BS then.
Yeah. I mean, I know. Yeah. And boy, is he letting them have it.
Yeah.
Good.
He's going nuts.
It's crazy. He's more popular than Southwest Airlines, so
well, no question really about that.
They had to prepare themselves for some hurt.
And also this morning, time wasters at work. How do you waste time when you're bored? A lot of different people have a lot of different ways, and we're going to give you some more so that you could be less productive as an employee.
Excellent.
So that's our goal today. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz be next.
I would find a way.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 551.
By the way, Kevin, Johnny Cash has another new album coming out this month, just so you know.
Hey, great.
Hey, he's had about seven since he died. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Green Day coming up, and then that song from the Dirty Heads featuring Rome from Sublime, Lay Me Down. That is on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend?
Good, how was yours?
Good to see you, man. What's everybody talking about?
Oh, everyone's talking about Kevin Smith. I know you guys are going to talk about it in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was funny reading Southwest's response to Kevin's complaints.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Their statement was hysterical. Let me just read you a piece of it. A timely exit from the aircraft in the event of emergency might be compromised if we allow a cramped, restricted seating arrangement. Have you ever flown on Southwest? When is it not a cramped, restricted seating arrangement? Why are my knees always up against my chin every time I sit in a Southwest seat?
Yeah, they don't have a lot
of
room.
If they want roomy, easy to get out of airplanes, they're going to have to move the seats a little bit. Blow me, Southwest. Yeah,
it's a cattle truck on Southwest, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I think if they're worried about the seating being cramped, it's a little late for them. Poor Kevin. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We'll take a look at the four-day weekend numbers, thanks to Daily Variety newspaper. Boy, America sure loves this Valentine's Day. $67 million it made over the holiday weekend.
Wow.
I guess people were in the mood, seeing that it was Valentine's Day and all. Second was Percy Jackson and the Olympians. In its debut, it made $39 million. Guaranteeing another Harry Potter-like franchise.
Sure.
The Wolfman, in its debut, made about $37 million. Number four was Avatar. Finally, Avatar dropping down the list a little bit. I guess everyone who's going to see it has pretty much seen it by now. Dear John was fifth. The Tooth Fairy was sixth. From Paris with Love was seventh. Edge of Darkness, Crazy Heart. And When in Rome, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this
week. Any of you guys see the Wolfman? I know some of you were excited about it.
I had a busy weekend. Didn't get to the movie.
I was excited. I didn't go either.
Yeah.
Dying to, though. Tooth Fairy, though. That could drop out of the top 10. I could go.
But you can't handle the tooth. That's what he says.
No, thank you.
China Phillips, half-sister of Mackenzie Phillips, has checked herself into a rehab facility. This is the most interesting reason I've ever heard for a rehab stay. She's checking.
The fear.
The fear.
Not the fear. Oh. She's checking herself in for anxiety. That's some anxiety when you have to go into rehab for it.
Really?
Looking to kick anxiety?
How do you do that?
I don't know. You get really relaxed and smoke a lot of cigarettes. Complain to Dr. Drew. That's all I know about rehab.
I didn't know you could rehab that.
Yeah, I think they may be holding something back.
Maybe she's
self-medicating for her anxiety issues.
That could be.
Apparently, she says, since Michelle came forward with her 10-year relationship with her dad, John Phillips, the whole family's been in turmoil. So I hope she gets some help because she's got three kids with Billy Baldwin, the actor, so hopefully she and get well soon. Could things get any worse for Tiger Woods? Well, of course they could. The porn star Jocelyn James, one of Tiger's many mistresses, has talked to Us Weekly. Did a story yesterday morning claiming that her affair with Tiger resulted in not one, but two pregnancies.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
She dished to the magazine that she miscarried the first child and then ended her second pregnancy because she didn't want to ruin anything for her very married boyfriend. If you don't want to ruin everything, don't have sex with the married guy.
There's that.
Or use protection.
There's that, too.
Oh, Kevin.
Just saying.
You are so 20th century with your talk of condoms.
There's no way to stop a baby anymore. Kevin, you know that.
Jocelyn James said she feels bad for Elin Nordegren, by the way.
She does.
Yeah.
She is all really right. A prize.
She says she doesn't deserve the humiliation of a sex scandal.
Right.
And she probably didn't know about her husband's affair because she was very busy taking care of their two kids.
Mm-hmm.
But Jocelyn, she's a piece of work.
Doesn't she kind of have a part of that?
No.
Okay.
Here's an odd mix. Madonna is apparently going to appear on Jerry Seinfeld's new show, The Marriage Ref. Seems odd, doesn't it?
How many times has Madonna been divorced?
This show is apparently, it's a reality show where real couples air their dirty laundry, and then a panel of celebrity judges decide who's right and who's wrong in the relationship.
It looks funny. To me.
Could be interesting.
My fear is that, you know, you got your Jerry Seinfeld.
You got the fear? What?
Is that you got the Jerry Seinfeld at the beginning, and then 4 weeks in, you don't recognize a soul on the...
Yeah, they got Alec Baldwin and Jerry Seinfeld for the first lineup.
Right.
Yeah, right. Next thing you know, it's Sinbad and Carrot Top.
Right.
Right. But apparently at one stage, Madonna's going to be stopping by.
Okay.
Madonna apparently has become very good friends with Jerry's wife, Jessica.
Oh.
And so she's friends with the family and has agreed to be on the show.
Hmm.
I hope Madonna has some hilarious things to say about...
Oh, you know she will.
...people who fight in their marriages.
It's just weird to go to somebody, as I mentioned before, who's frequently divorced for marriage advice. I don't get
well, I don't think
why
it's
you
real.
Choose that person.
I don't think it's legally binding.
Yeah, it's not real marriage advice.
This is for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
Okay.
Please do not gamble.
I'm not really
Alec Baldwin, do you want to go to him for marriage advice on how to keep a marriage together?
Once again, Bean, you may be missing the point of the program, which is to elicit laughter and entertainment rather than actual solve marital discord.
I don't approve of laughter entertainment. You know that.
Wow.
Prove that by this show. Today's celebrity birthday is February the 16th. William Catt, the greatest American mother effing hero. Believe it or not, he's walking on mother effing air.
That's what I hear.
You are the only person still excited by that.
Oh, greatest American hero. Oh.
What year was that show on, Kevin?
1932.
Yes, it was 1932. That's right. Yes. It was the first televised program ever on the Dumont Network. He is 59 years old today. LeVar Burton.
Yeah!
Yeah. You can have your Star Trek The Next Generation. You can have your roots. It's all about the reading rainbow.
There you go.
For me.
Butterflies in the sky. I can fly twice.
He's 53. Guitarist Andy Taylor from Duran Duran is 49 years old. Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters is 38. And speaking of drummers, this one's for Psycho Mike. Dave Lombardo.
There it is.
Drummer for a little band called Slayer celebrates his 45th birthday today. Thank you for that smattering of applause. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
So, we tried to get Kevin Smith to come on with us today. He was unable to make it. He's got a very, very busy schedule. As you know, he's got the Bruce Willis, Tracy Morgan movie coming out, I think, this week. So, he's just swamped. We'll get him very soon, though. But he did do a podcast last night about the incident where he was in his seat ready to take off on a Southwest flight from Oakland to Burbank over the weekend. And a flight attendant came up and told him he'd have to leave, even though he could fit in his seat because he was too fat. And I thought, rather than us tell you the story, we'd go to Kevin's podcast from last night and pretty much let it unfold. Now, Kevin, I need you to have your finger on the button.
All right.
Because Mr. Smith, as you know, has a very, very salty language. And I did the very best I could to get them all. I think I got them all, but just double check. And we're pretty much just going to let it roll. This is Kevin's awesome. He takes an hour to tell a one-minute story. So there are a lot of edits here, but I hope it still sounds okay, and I hope you get the gist of what happened to Kevin Smith on the flight. Please enjoy.
Sit down between two ladies. I'm like, hello, hello. Just as I'm reaching for my fucking seatbelt, which, look, I'm not saying I buckle the seat, you know, as easily as I comb my hair. It takes a degree of, but I can buckle that seatbelt still, and that is a hallmark for any fat person. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can take what you will from me, but don't take the fact that I can still buckle the belt. You know,
I
don't need the f***ing extender yet. So, you know, I'm going to buckle, and all of a sudden, Suzanne.
Oh, God.
Good old Suzanne from up front comes in, leans down, and she goes, Mr. Smith, hi. We have kind of a problem. Now.
Oh, God.
First thing comes into my head. Oh, my God, my mother died? Because that's what I'm trained for. You know what I'm saying? Like weird phone calls in the middle of the night. Some stranger coming up to you going, Mr. Smith, I have something bad to tell you. I did not for a single second think what was coming because it was beyond my comprehension. You know what I'm saying? Again, I know I'm fat, but I'm not that f-ing fat. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's fat and there's fat. So Suzanne leans down and goes, Mr. Smith, we got a problem. I said, what is it? And she goes, Captain... says that you can't sit here. That's when it starts dawning on me.
Oh, my.
And I go, oh, why? Because I don't want to say, are you saying what I think you're saying? Right. And I'm immediately looking to the women either side of me to be like, did you bitch just sell me out or something? What happened here? And she goes, well, no, it's a safety issue, a security measure. And I said, what? Wait, safety, security, what are you talking about? And she's like, I'm sorry. Just
how
can't.
Is that explanation justified?
Hold on. Like, well, okay. That's the story.
Like,
if you're just joining us, by the way, this is actor, writer, director Kevin Smith. That's his wife that he was doing the podcast with last night, too, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
And he's just walked in the door. He has just been home 5 minutes. She's sitting on the couch watching Seinfeld. He says, come with me. We've got to go make a podcast right now. He's just burning to get this off his chest about getting bumped off a flight. More from Kevin.
So I'm like, what do you, I mean, but ma'am, I'm fine. I'm sitting down. She's like, well, it's just, if you can't lower the armrests, then we can't let you, you know, what she wanted to say was, you're too fat. You have to buy two seats, but this plane's too full. So you can't buy two seats. So you're going to have to go. But she kept insisting that the captain, that the pilot was saying this. And I was just like, I'm looking because the pilot, where I'm sitting, there is no way possible for the pilot to see me because I can't see the pilot. And I was like, are you? Oh, I literally said, please don't do this to me. Are you serious? Like, are you telling me to get up? And I was like, everybody, like, this plane's full.
Right.
And she's like, yeah. And I was like, but ma'am, the armrest, look. And I put the armrest both down.
Right.
I was like, they're just up because they were up when I sat down. Like, mm-hmm. these ladies had them up. I was like, right. they're both fine. And the lady, and Suzanne goes, yeah, I'm sorry. Please, this is really, can you, you know, we'll try to make it up to you outside.
Oh, my God.
So I'm sitting there going, what do I do? Like, this is potentially f-ing humiliating. Because as I sit down, when I first boarded, Silent Bob!
Of course.
Literally. Inevitable. I'm not f-ing kidding. Like, you know, some people, I'm sure, like, nobody knows you are. It's just, f-ing, it's there. After 15 years and many different platforms, I'm sorry. Even if you don't understand it and hate my guts, people recognize me. As I stand and go to get my bag, mm-hmm. I make perfect eye contact with a man who is far fatter and wider than me, squeezed in also to a middle seat, 3-4 rows back. Perfect eye contact.
Right.
And at this moment, you know, if I have a lack of character, I'm going to be like, what about Tubby? What about him?
You would never do that.
I would never throw a fellow fatty under the bus or a plane, as it were. So I was, don't say anything. But that dude's f***ing eyes, locked with mine, had this panicked expression of like, please don't tell, please don't tell.
Oh, no, I can't laugh at
totally,
that.
Because he saw me getting taken away, and he's like, I'm way fatter than him. They're coming for us. It's finally happened. They're coming for the fatties. They're taking us to Candyland to kill us.
We're listening to Kevin Smith, the director, writer, actor, Kevin Smith's podcast from last night, talking about getting thrown off the Southwest Airlines flight. And by the way, as I said, it's an hour and a half story where Kevin goes on to talk about how as much as he hated the idea of having to get on the boycott started that night for Kevin Smith. He's never going to fly Southwest again, and he flies it all the time.
Right.
But he said there was no other flight back, and he just didn't feel like driving home from Oakland, so he had to take a Southwest flight to get back later that night. And he said they came up to another passenger on the plane near where he was sitting, a woman who was about Kevin Smith's size, and there wasn't anybody sitting next to her. There was no issue on this flight, but they came up to her and they said, You may want to buy two seats next time you fly with us. And that's what really started him on the scorch the earth policy. I mean, he was pissed already, but when he saw that happen to that other passenger, he said, if you're a regular sized person, Southwest is coming for you. And it's a call to arms right now. He's got an army of people out against Southwest right now. And as I said earlier, I mean, you can disagree with what happened to Kevin Smith. There is a problem in the sky, though, with how tiny these seats are getting and how big people are getting and how there are some people who don't want to sit next to that person, even if they, you know, technically can fit in the seat. People are getting squished. I mean, we've all been there where we sat next to somebody who's been half in our seat, right?
Right, but doesn't it seem like the armrest thing is the
yeah,
that's
barometer?
That's
what I thought, too.
If you can put both armrests down, you're good.
That's what I think, too. But Kevin Smith, man, I've never seen him as fired up as he is about this. And he had a great summation. And I think this sums up where Kevin's coming from talking about this whole incident.
I am fat. And that's how I conduct myself in this life. I'm okay. I found a woman who f***ed me. I got me a chubby chaser. And if I die early because I'm fat, that's my own fault, my choice. But I am not fat enough to eject off of a Southwest airline flight simply for size. Not yet, motherfucker. I'll tell you when I'm there, because believe me, I'll be talking about it. And I am the guy who, I sat down a toilet and broke it off a wall.
And
I told the whole world, because there's only one way to live with a death mark like that. Right. You have to own
it. You have to own it, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, good times from Kevin Smith's podcast, and we'll have him on sometime in the next few days talking about his movie and find out if he's calmed down or if he is really going to go to war with these people. But good times, right?
Dude, that seems rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems rough.
That's how humiliating.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not back to work unless you got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone, bringing you up to speed with what you missed over the long weekend. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Hi, listening.
Hello.
Harvey, you excited about the Olympics? You having time or interest in watching any of the events this past week?
Not only did I watch it, I felt badly for myself.
Why?
Because I'm xenophobic.
Okay. You're U.S. only? You don't like any of the other countries?
Well, I mean, can I tell you something? When I watched Apollo Ono on Saturday night, and when the two Korean skaters hit each other.
Right. Yeah, with 1 second in the race, they both got eliminated, and he ended up getting the silver, right?
I never jump up off the couch But I did.
Wow.
I felt badly because I just thought, this isn't supposed to be the way it is. But I was so happy they slammed it.
No, that's the way it is. You did the right thing.
I felt terrible because you don't want to win an event, or in his case, come runner-up in an event, because somebody else falls out. I mean,
you know what? But did you see his smile? He didn't care.
Yeah,
yeah, of course not.
Rather get that than nothing, I imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah, it has been exciting. And it's the hilarious thing about Olympics is sports you've never heard of, sports you've never given one second's thought to, all of a sudden you find yourself heavily invested in and spending hours watching, even though you didn't even know what they were yesterday.
Isn't that funny? It's totally true. I mean, I've been really into this. And I love, like, did you see downhill skiing last night?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was really exciting.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, they're incredible athletes. I mean, I guess that's what it boils down to. That's why we watch. But
it was great.
All right,
it was great.
Let's talk about some celebs. Psycho Mike tried everything he could Friday night to get on your site, Harvey. I guess your cameras were tracking the Octomom. She went out to dinner on Friday night.
And she went to Katsuya.
Psycho Mike was, we had a singles party that same night next door. You know, you share a parking lot with where we had the singles party. And Psycho Mike saw her in the parking lot. And does this happen everywhere she goes? He just went up to her and just started berating her, just started screaming at her for being a burden to the taxpayers and blah, 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 blah.
Wait, did Psycho Mike did this?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Why didn't we get that?
And that's the right thing to do, right?
Why didn't we get that?
Well, how do we know? Your guy was sleeping.
Is that what happens everywhere she goes, Harvey? I mean, is that the reaction she gets on the street still?
Actually not. She's a celebrity.
No way.
Oh, I hate this.
Listen, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying she is. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. So she's coming out of the restaurant, and she has a date on Valentine's Day, right?
Right.
Okay. So she's coming out over the weekend. She has a date. And the guy says, what are you going to get for Valentine's Day? Do you know what he said?
Right.
This was
right.
Pretty great. Octopus.
Yeah!
Wow!
Come on now!
That's actually pretty good.
That's a good line.
Wow!
It was a great line. And she laughed, actually, but it was pretty great.
Yeah. Hope they're using protection. Tell you that right now.
I'm glad she was on a date, because we were talking about off air. How could she afford to go to restaurants like that with 14 kids? Thank God somebody else was paying for it.
Well, I'm just thinking about the date. It's like, okay, so tell me a little about yourself. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I've had 14 kids, and everyone hates me. And then when I tried to move into the neighborhood revolted.
I can't imagine somebody wanting to date the Octomom.
No,
I just can't even,
that's insane.
That is not a win.
It's not for real.
But you know he wanted to be on camera, too,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah, maybe
that's
so.
The fringe benefit.
I guess, but I hope he didn't have to follow through. That would be rough.
Speaking of dates, you guys are getting deep into this.
Yeah.
He fell in. Speaking of dates, you guys are really tracking this story about Beyonce's dad. This one hasn't made a lot of headlines. I don't think a lot of people realize what Beyonce's dad is up to. Fill us in, Harvey.
Well, there's a woman named Alexandra Wright who has done a couple of acting gigs, but she's she says she had a year and a half relationship with Matthew Knowles, and it appears this may have broken up Matthew Knowles' marriage, but she had a kid, and she says the kid is Beyonce's stepbrother.
Okay.
And she says that, obviously, that Matthew Knowles is the father. So she's going to court today to try and get child support. He's not really denying it necessarily. He's saying there's been no DNA test. I mean, he's kind of like a John Edwards, you know?
Right, uh-huh, right.
And so they're going to court today. He hasn't paid any money, but, you know, she is going full bore on this thing. The best part about it is that she says that they came up with his name together. And you know what his name is?
The kid's name? No.
Pretty awesome. You ready?
Yeah.
You've never heard this name, I bet.
All right.
She named him Nixon.
Nixon?
Really?
Nixon.
Nixon.
Why?
As a first name?
As a first name.
Huh. Look, a lot of black folks didn't vote for Richard Nixon. What's their attraction or affection for that name?
I don't know, but it's fascinating to me that this kid's name is Nixon. And we just put the picture up on the website today. I don't know if you guys saw it. And we put Matthew Knowles' picture next to it, just kind of like Edward-esque, to see what you thought. So we said family resemblance, and I'm clicking the poll right now, and the vote is 73% yes.
Sure. How old is the kid?
Oh, the kid was born like a week and a half ago.
Oh, okay, all right. Because I was going to say, that kid one day is going to be the stepbrother of Beyonce.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All right.
Exactly.
Here's my question. How old is the woman that Beyonce's dad was having the affair with?
She's looks to be like in her late 30s.
Oh, so older than Beyonce.
Older than Beyonce, yeah.
Okay, good. Because that's always creepy when the guys are dating the girls their daughter's age, you know?
It's always weird. Or, you know, or when they date somebody that looks like Hulk Hogan, where they date somebody who looks exactly like the daughter. Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's freaky.
All right, last question for our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And, of course, check your local listings for TMZ television. That is, you are reporting that Charlie Sheen's wife is in rehab. Does that have any impact on his court proceedings about that incident at Christmas time?
I think it has a huge impact. It's why we broke the story. I mean, normally we don't do this, but this is one where, you know, the Christmas Day thing, and he's up front a felony for this, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's his word against hers. I mean, there are only two people in the room. So she was drunk at the time of the incident, which was 8:30 in the morning, and she checked into rehab. She came back to L.A. with Charlie the night of his arraignment. The next day, she checked into rehab in Malibu, and, you know, she's got a serious problem. Without getting specific, she's got a serious, serious problem. This has got to affect the prosecutor and the decision on whether to even go forward and prosecute the guy.
Yeah, because the defense is going to be able to say, you don't believe us that she's got a drinking problem? She put herself into rehab. Clearly, we're not lying about that.
Well, and it's not just that. It's that, you know, in terms of credibility, you know, what exactly did you see and hear, ma'am? And then
right.
on cross-examination, it's, okay, so you said you saw and heard this. How many drinks did you have?
Right.
What else did you do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's where somebody falls apart.
And they both want this to go away. They're trying to get back together, right, Harvey?
They're trying to get back together. She does not want this at all. And, yeah. you know, and now, you know, she's really struggling. I got to tell you, I mean, this is, again, we know a lot more than we're putting up on the site, but this is a serious problem.
Sad. Aging Dr. Drew.
Yeah, no kidding. Is there any legal thing that could go against her for, you know, a false report? If it comes out?
You know, probably not. I mean, it's not even so much is it a false report, but the issue is it's not so much do you believe she's a liar, can you create a reasonable doubt about her, because that's all Charlie Sheen needs to do in this
right,
case.
Right.
And when you've got somebody who has this is an enormous substance abuse problem. This is not just a little thing.
Right.
And, you know, with something like that, when a jury is listening, they're saying, am I really going to put this guy in prison because of what she's saying when she's got all these problems, and who knows whether she saw things clearly or made things up or heard things that she didn't really hear. You know,
right.
It's like that's where juries say, no, not guilty.
Exactly. Well, I always love it when people go to rehab that have small kids at home, too. That's always just fun for the whole family.
Yeah, it's a whole issue.
All right, Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, TMZ Television, you are the best. Thanks a lot for coming on. Have a great week, dude.
You too, guys.
First, let's talk about the Kevin and Bean Last Call singles party. It was Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
And Miss Cleo is in the studio. She is
Woo.
Before we talk about Miss Cleo, if you were there at the party and you're awake, give us a call if you've got a story to tell at 1-800-520-1067. I know that people were hooking up at that party. They were hooking up before they left the party. I can't imagine what happened after the party, after the doors finally closed on Friday night. But once again, it's like it's a chemical reaction. It's combustible. You put our listeners together, our single listeners together, and they make babies. I mean, it just happens.
Well, hopefully they didn't make babies, but
it was crazy, the energy in that room. But a lot of people seemed to be very, very happy with the selection. And again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And almost anyone who was there at one point had his or her face between Miss Cleo's boobs.
That's
that is
true.
A fact.
Hey, hey.
That is true.
Hey.
Now, Miss Cleo was dressed to impress. She needs it. She needs it. Let's be honest. Let's just put it out there.
She was demanding that you have sex with her. If you saw Miss Cleo's outfit, she was basically saying, take me now.
She didn't just show cleavage. It actually was open down to her belly button. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Pretty much.
It was J-Lo at the Grammys a few years ago. It was that kind of a dress where it defied the laws of physics that it even stayed on her body. Now, Miss Cleo, for folks who haven't been lucky enough to see her pictures or meet her in person, she's stacked, all right? It's incredible that she can keep those boobs in that tiny piece of fabric. I mean, it was a struggle for you all night long, wasn't it, Cleo?
Yes, and, you know, I've never done that before. I've with my size, I've never been – I didn't – I wasn't wearing a bra. Let's just put it out there. And
okay.
So,
all right. Let's put it out there.
I had never done that. And you know, I was like, you know what? Tonight's a new night. It's 2010. It's a new year. Let's go.
Here's my favorite thing, though. My favorite thing. And we're going to play some audio from Lightning's confessional booth. And Miss Cleo was in there most of the night.
confessing.
Is that she wore that outfit so that everyone said, wow, look at those boobs.
Right?
And then she spent the whole night going, hey, up here in the eyes. Hey, look up here in the eyes.
Well, that makes no sense.
No. No. You're going to wear that? I'm not looking in your eyes.
Right. Look.
That's the
deal.
They
don't even know you have eyes.
Not looking in the eyes. Here's a
By
little
way,
bit, here's a little bit of the... yes, go ahead, B.
Before you get to the tape, Kevin was very late, as he is, often at these parties. So we're all sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting for Kevin to get there. And the time before you arrived, Kevin, Miss Cleo said to me, no joke, three or four different times, you know what, I got a room down the street so I can drink tonight.
Right.
I'm going to go back and change. I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, no, I'm serious. I'm going to go back. I've decided I cannot wear this outfit. She was getting terrified that the doors were going to open soon.
Right.
And people were going to come in and they were actually see her. I had to talk her. I had to practically grab her by the leg to stop her.
Nice work,
from going back and changing that dress before the party even began.
Nice
so
work.
So she started off a little bit off balance with that dress. But, I mean, didn't it all work out? Aren't you now in retrospect?
Got a couple in me and it didn't matter.
I'm sorry, what did that mean? Oh, drinks.
Drinks, yes.
Okay,
a couple of drinks in her is what she meant. All right, so there's the confessional booth. It's basically just a little room with the camera and you talk to the camera. And Miss Cleo was in there most of the night.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin and Bean, for hosting a singles party because I am currently single and currently looking and there are a lot of... Hey! Come on. Both of you. Can you fix my boobs?
Yes, sure.
Okay, now... This is the beginning of the night.
Yes.
This is, what would you say, Bean? 8:30?
Yeah, it's like 8:30.
Really?
She's gone.
Well, I have thank everybody.
Oh, my God.
Because I say, hey, can you fix my boobs?
Go in. Just go in there. No! Tuck them in so there's no nip slips.
Have you guys gotten any action tonight? What are you guys drinking tonight? So, I have been working at this guy all night.
Now, she took a drink from that guy's drink, and she was pretty drunk.
Yeah, I can tell.
Allegedly.
And she came up to me, no, allegedly. And she came up to me about 9 o'clock, and I was like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, yes, people are buying me drinks. I said, what are you, an amateur? Just, order a 7-Up and put a lime in it or something. People think you're drinking. I was pouring her drink into mine. She was smashed.
I also like how when Miss Cleo drinks, I've tried to film other stuff with her off the air before, and she's very shy. You know, she's very reserved. You get a couple drinks in her, she turns into Jerry Lewis. She's like, no, give me the microphone. I'm in charge here.
I got some stuff to say.
With nothing. Nothing.
So now she's talking to a guy who she's saying she's been hitting on all night, and she's getting no response from him. Zero. Which, of course, to me means gay, move on.
Gay.
Right.
Gotta be, yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Not a hint of anything. What the F?
Now she's yelling at him, what the F? And he's like, wait, what?
What the F, mister?
So we're going to get down later, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I see a couple.
Hey, my eyes are up here. Okay.
Okay, so, hey, my eyes are up here. She's telling the guy, first of all, she's wearing...
Don't look at my breasts, which are completely on display right now.
And I've been hitting on you and I want to have sex with you. Right. Hey, look at my eyes. What's happening? Do you know how this works? What is wrong with you? So then, I think this is when he started motorboating.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and this went on for another 4 hours.
Okay!
No, I'm not stopping! I'm not stopping!
I'll get you beers if you cut all of that out.
Yeah, so then she started trying to talk to the camera, lighting or whoever. She was like, oh, please, let me just, don't put that in. And there's a lot of it.
Oh, Saturday when she woke up, the first thing she did was email Lightning, who was editing the video, and she said, please don't put it in there. There's no way you can put it in there. I don't know why she sounded drunk on her email, but apparently she did.
Because she was. That's how Miss Cleo rolls. She's looking to get laid, and then she gets all drunk, and then she's wearing super revealing clothes, and then she's telling a guy she wants to sleep with him, and then he's looking down, and she says, look at my eyes. What's happening?
I don't know.
Have you ever had sex?
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying, what's happening? What's the... It isn't...
I don't know.
Here's the thing about...
I don't know.
Let me just explain to you. Here's the thing about sex. For girls, it's really easy.
I don't find that true.
Because you're...
They always say this. And I agree with you.
I don't find that true.
it's not like any guy that you point to is going to have sex with you. Yes, you can have sex if you're willing to have sex with any guy.
Slow down. Slow down. Almost any guy she points out would have sex. They're all single there, by the way.
No,
Cleo is hot enough that she could get a pretty good-looking guy, too. It's not like she's a beast and she's looking for for someone to have pity sex with her. Cleo could get somebody good.
And she's just flat-out not willing to walk up to the guy she's interested in and say, listen,
let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's just leave here.
What happened in the confessional when I was yelling at
that? And then as soon as the guy even tried to look at your boobs, you're like, whoa, up here. If you seriously look him in the eyes and you're like, let's blow this joint. Let's go back to my hotel room.
The eyes.
And trust me, every guy out there, I know you and Lisa.
Everyone at that party.
Yeah, you and Lisa are like, no, that's not the way it is. It is the way it is. For girls like you who are this good looking, you go take your pick of the litter, but you just don't have the huevitos to actually go follow through with it. That's the truth.
It really isn't that difficult. And it is way easier for girls than guys because guys have to overcome the natural defenses the girls put up. Guys don't have defenses.
If I'm not that open and as a person, it's really difficult. Yeah. It's extremely difficult for me to go up to some guy I think is cute and say, hey, let's go.
Right. That's why you drink.
And you don't have to say anything. You just have to take his hand and start walking toward the door, too. It's not like you need to spit game, Cleo.
Exactly. You don't need
and
to.
By the way, don't even get me started on Miss Double December, Danielle, who I love so much, who's in the same video at KevinandBean.com, saying she hasn't had sex since October. Don't even get me started on her. What's that deal?
Yeah, what is happening with that?
I don't know.
Let's talk to intern Gaga.
Was Gaga smashed. Oh, my God.
I had a little bit strange. Intern Gaga.
Good morning.
How you feel? You recovered yet from Friday?
I recovered on Sunday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I decided to go onto the website to maybe recall what happened.
Just to kind of picture, put it back together like they did in The Hangover, the movie.
Yeah, I didn't use my camera that night, and the last thing I remember is the bartender giving me free shots.
Right.
And so I go on, and lo and behold, the first picture is of me and my date, my girlfriend, kissing.
Yeah, make it
up. That's you?
Yes.
Yes.
You're hurt. Making out with a girlfriend.
Yeah, there's a photo gallery at KevinandMean.com also of about 100 pictures from the party.
But wait, you don't... I obviously hooked up, but not with the opposite sex.
But you don't remember even making out with her?
I don't remember at all. I called her, and I was like, do you remember this? And she was like, no.
You both blacked out?
That's fantastic.
Man. Intern Gaga is a blackouter. Is that a name? Exactly. Miss Cleo, really, honestly, with those, I mean, come on.
I made out.
It should be the easiest thing in the world. Why are you bad?
I don't know.
Yeah, Cleo, you're holding out. Yeah. Exactly.
That ended, so now we're going to talk. It's world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:57.
What you got for us, Ralph?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got some tickets to give away. Let's make Kevin Smith feel better after his crappy weekend. Let's go see his movie, Cop Out.
Yes.
Yeah. Special advanced screening of Cop Out at the AMC Century City Theater. It's going to happen on Tuesday, the 23rd. Movie hits theaters on the 26th, but you will get the chance to see it before anybody else. If you're one of the first five callers, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five callers get a pair of tickets to go see the cop-out screening with Mel Gibson and Tracy Jordan. Looks very funny.
3 minutes till 7 o'clock.
You mean, Bruce Willis, by the way.
What did I say? Bruce Willis.
You said Mel Gibson. I think you mean Bruce Willis.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean Bruce Willis.
Looks very good.
And Tracy Morgan, not Tracy Jordan. That's who he plays on 30 Rock.
Right.
He's very different.
Right. Yes. Okay. All right. Ways to waste time at work, because you need our help with that. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday. What's happening?
Oprah Winfrey is having a garage sale. Once again, when you're one of the world's richest women, I suppose your closet fills up pretty quickly. And so she is going to put a bunch of her stuff up on eBay on March the 1st. Over 150 personal items from Oprah's closet will be listed. All the proceeds will go to the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy in South Africa. Good thing, because we don't need any leaders here in the United States. I'm glad she's developing some in South Africa. Just in case you're interested in buying some of Oprah's hand-me-downs, you know, they're all high-end designer stuff, so you'll probably get some pretty good deals. If you're interested, ladies, her shoe size is a 9, so keep that in mind. And her dress size is an, oh, my God, look at the ass on that bitch.
That's an actual size?
Yeah, they had to make one up just for her.
I've gained weight.
Yes, you have. Bean, did you hear about this thing, the oxytocin? Oxytocin?
What's going on? What's that?
There's this hormone.
Oh, the Asperger's thing, yeah.
Which apparently promotes a mother-infant bonding. And they're realizing if they give this to people with Asperger's syndrome and they inhale it, it helps them not be such assholes.
What?
Really?
Yes. Possible.
Apparently, they're finding that Asperger's could be caused by a deficiency in this hormone.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, are they saying that
oxytocin?
They're saying it works after. It's not something you have to give the child when he's young. It's something that can work after the fact for grown-ups?
13 subjects with Asperger's syndrome were given for 90 minutes. They inhaled this oxytocin. Mm-hmm. And they said after the fact, subjects were much more likely to look at photos of human faces. Apparently, Asperger's people like to avoid the gaze of human faces. They don't like to look at photos of faces. They're uncomfortable with that.
Because it's creepy.
Especially looking into the eyes of people. They can't even look at a photo.
But in photos?
Yes. Yeah. And after they inhale the hormone, they're fine looking at that. And they were much more social, and they were empathetic about people's emotions and
we
stuff.
Have the greatest test subject in the history of civilization.
We've got to get being in this program.
Is it just short-term? Do you have to keep inhaling this stuff all
fine.
The time?
I'm not sure how long the effects last.
Wow, that's... And then do you immediately lose interest in maps?
Apparently you're able to give up the map. Yes.
But do I have to talk to a human to get it?
There's hope!
This is the greatest news ever.
There's hope!
I don't want it.
And by hope, I mean for us!
Yeah,
I don't like it.
Can you imagine?
Are they selling it or are they just testing it?
Whatever! Whatever it takes! We need to get some!
I'm with you.
Omar can get it.
Yeah, really, that's Omar can get anything.
He's got a guy.
Just need to pump it into Bean's house so he doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah. I was just so excited when I heard about this.
That's amazing.
Yeah, apparently the hormone is the essential element in a human psyche that promotes mother-infant bonding, socialization, trust, and cooperation.
Wow, he's got none of that.
Right, and the lack thereof is frequently diagnosed as being Asperger's.
How about that?
My mom would never hold me as a baby.
I don't blame her, but now... God.
Well, you were too big to hold.
Yes,
that's what you imagine. Came out like a foal. Bean just got right up on his legs and started trotting around the house.
I was 14 hands tall when I was born.
Yes, you were. Tonight's the night. Merk and I will reveal the first of the 24 finalists.
Okay.
During tonight's two-hour episode. Oh.
Yep. Hey, Ralph, did they eliminate that experiment last year where they had the judges with a bonus round? Remember the judges could bring somebody back who had already been eliminated and add them to the mix? Is that all that gone this year?
I don't know.
Seems
you know
like
what
a
I'm
disaster.
Talking about? Remember I do remember that. I'm not sure how they're doing it
judges
this time.
Judges' choice or whatever they call
save,
it.
Yeah,
the judges' save.
Dumb.
Apparently, they revealed all of the 24 in one show last year, but this year they're just splitting it up into two episodes, so... Everyone tune in.
Nope.
Come on.
Some great singers this year, Kevin.
Great
am I right, Ralph?
Great singers. Great singers. Very exciting.
Are they singing songs I don't like?
Mostly.
All
yes.
right.
No! Yes, Raging Bull. They
Thank
are.
You.
Kevin's got his nose bandaged like he just went 13 rounds with somebody. Looks badass. Looks like
never
tough.
Got me down.
That's right.
I was in an MMA fight over the weekend.
I didn't realize.
Yeah. Who'd you fight?
Come on, Captain Improv, what's your fight?
How dare you? I thought that was pretty good. I can't keep going.
Today's celebrity birthdays. William Catt, better known as the greatest American hero. He was 59 years old today. Guitarist Andy Taylor from Duran Duran is 49. Dave Lombardo, drummer for Slayer, is 45. Taylor Hawkins, drummer for Foo Fighters, is 38. And actor LeVar Burton, sure he was Kunta Kinte in Roots. Sure, he was Geordi LaForge in Star Trek The Next Generation, but his biggest achievement ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Butterfly in the sky. Uh-huh. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
No!
I can go anywhere. Friends to know.
He's got a really high voice.
It's not him singing the theme. Rainbow. It's the theme to Reading Rainbow that he was the host of.
Like
79 years.
Anything.
No!
It's in a book, The Reading Rainbow.
Take a look, it's in a book.
Hi, guys. Today we're going to read a book. Really, LeVar Burton? Really? Called The Reading Rainbow.
It's a show trying to promote how good reading is.
Do you like caterpillars?
But it's a TV show.
I know, you watch a show about people reading books without ever having read a book.
That's good.
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Speaking of oxymorons. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, the members of Cypress Hill will be here. Sendog, Be Real, Bobo stopping by with brand new music. The first single from their new album that they're going to bring with them and be playing for us features your friend Tom Morello, Kevin, from Rage Against the Machine. How about
come
that?
Come on the guitar. Come on.
Yeah. Very excited to hear that. Also, we got some highlights, if you want to call them that, of the opening Olympic ceremonies from Friday night. By the way, most watched television program in the history of Canada, those opening ceremonies from Vancouver on Friday.
Yeah, but how high are those numbers in Canada, for God's sake?
An 84 share.
What?
84 share. Wow. 16% of televisions were on something else. 84% of people in Canada watching the opening ceremonies. It's crazy.
I have highlights coming up, but I would just like to ask one question right now, and that is, what did it drop to when they started tap dancing?
Well,
did it go from 84% to 4%?
I did.
What
I did
about the
about
second
that.
Hour of tap dancing? What about that?
Yeah, there was a lot of tap dancing going on.
Of tap dancing?
I wanted more native peoples dancing. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I would have more Indians.
Those were sucky.
Yeah.
Anyway, highlights later this hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's talk about time wasters at work. We all have them.
Okay.
Everybody has, you know, you get bored, so you most of them are online, most of them. You can find sites or whatever. My particular, the thing that I go to the most probably is StumbleUpon. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
Uh-uh. What is that?
StumbleUpon.com. You put in all of your likes and dislikes, and then you just click, and it randomly sends you to sites that might appeal to you.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so obviously as you keep, you know, giving it more information, it keeps giving the stuff
that... It refines it.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just... Hours.
I can imagine.
I do that at home.
You're doing this during work?
I do it at work. I do it at home.
Because you don't need the distraction.
I know. I do it everywhere. I'm gonna see what the next site is. And the beautiful thing about it is the very next site is one click away, so you don't like what you're on. Click.
Boom.
Boom.
I'm writing that down. That sounds great.
It's not good for you. It is not good for you. It is a huge time waster. But everybody has them, so we're gonna take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Bean, how do you waste time? You spend a lot of time typing. I'll tell you that.
Well, I like to stay current. There are a lot of news sites, mostly, that I'm trolling, always looking, whether it's entertainment-related or actual news-related.
Or porn.
Just trying to keep up. Not so much porn, you know, during the show, but...
But before and after?
Yeah.
Of course, before and after, yeah. And, of course, Twitter. I mean, Twitter is a fantastic time waster, too, because here's the thing about Twitter that people may not think of, is you can click on any of those names and take a look at what they're listening to or who they're following or what tweets they're getting or what.
Right.
I mean, so it's just much like how you describe StumbleUpon, it's not just one page that you're stuck on. You can take it from there and go as far as you want. You can spend a day on it.
Spend any amount of time doing it. Yeah,
exactly. But I know that there are, you know, there are people who love to, love to play games. There are people who love the funny photo sites. There are people who love, Hulu, in their office.
Sure.
Hey, I got to get this report done, but I'll fire up the Hulu and watch some Curb Your Enthusiasm, or whatever it is, whatever you want. I mean, there's so much at your fingertips available with the internet that, you may never get any work done.
Fail.com, awesome.
Fail.com's the best.
Stay there forever. King of Mexico watches. What is it that he watches? That panda bear.
Oh, the panda cam.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's hundreds of these cams all over the world. I mean, there's right now, Kevin, there's three or four very popular puppy cams that are going on with people who put them up in their house where, after they're breeders or something like that. There's an English bulldog one, for instance, I must confess I've spent some time on. There's, a litter of like five puppy bulldogs that are running around in this living room. How do you not watch that?
Because there's women? That's how you don't.
Well, he does that too.
Because there are girls that are hot. That's why you don't watch dogs.
Yeah, but everything that you're watching on StumbleUpon is not chicks. You're interested in seeing other things too, whether it's car crashes or whatever it is you're looking for.
You don't know what my interests are.
Oh, I see. They're pretty specific.
I've refined it.
King of Mexico's big on the Farmville too.
Oh, Farmville.
Oh,
that's
King of Mexico.
Game, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's sort of a game. It's kind of dumb.
You're a farmer.
You're a farmer. You farm.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you've got some advice for other people listening on how they can waste all of their time at work. We want to hear from you. By the way, it's been around a while, but Craigslist can really drag you in for good.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Sure. You know what else I found out about working is that when you're not online, if you don't have access to a computer or something, if you stand up and get a piece of paper in your hand and walk briskly, mm-hmm. anywhere. It doesn't matter. People see you walking kind of briskly. You got a piece of paper. You must be doing business. I've done that for hours. just walking around, just like testing it to see, will anyone stop me and ask me what I'm doing? Because I'm clearly doing zero. Have a piece of paper, walk quickly. Works great.
It could even be blank, right?
Yeah, there's nothing on it.
Let's talk to Casey real quick, because he's calling out one that has just exploded in the last couple of months. It's very popular as an office time waster. Hi, Casey. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
What's your time waster?
All right, so you're sitting at work, and keep in mind, you have to have a web camera on your laptop or one of those things you put on your computer, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you go on this thing called roulettechat.com.
Roulettechat.com.
Yes. You can talk to anyone around the world. They're just sitting, you know, at home or doing whatever, and kind of like a chat little window opens up.
Oh, but so, the roulette part of it is just random. You don't know who they are or what they're doing.
Completely random.
Like
that
it?
Is hilarious.
And you can click from person to person. But I've never done this, but isn't this true, Casey? I've heard that most of the people on Chat Roulette are naked guys.
No. For example, I was in Big Bear this past weekend. Very great. We actually, me and my buddy stumbled upon a group of girls that were all drunk holding up their bottle of vodka.
Sure you did,
like,
Casey.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah. you said it was Roulette Chat. Is it Chat Roulette? Which one is it? Because
I believe it's Chat Roulette.
Chat Roulette. Okay.
Okay.
All right, good.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely check that out. But I mean, yeah, the roulette part is fascinating because you click on the next button and you could be talking to somebody in Brazil. Click on the button after that, you're talking to somebody down your street. I mean, you don't know who it's going to be. It's pretty crazy.
Is it brutal in that if Bean clicks on somebody and starts talking to them, they would disconnect him immediately?
It happens at times.
That does hurt.
Yeah.
That hurts, right, Bean?
Great tip. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm just saying, Bean, if it's possible, it could hurt your feelings if you're not tough. That's all.
Let's try Mike. He's on line four. Then we'll take a break and come back with more of your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Mike, I don't think I've heard about this one. What's the site you're using to waste time at work?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
It's verydemotivational.com.
Very demotivational.
All right. And what happens there?
Okay, you know they have the motivational posters like, teamwork, blah, blah, blah.
Right, sure.
You go there, they're hilarious ones. Like, it's just fun. They're demotivational posters.
Oh, so the motivational ones are like you see an eagle soaring and you can do whatever you want, that kind of BS. This is the opposite?
Yeah, it's just you click on random and you just hit next and another one pops up. Hit next, another one pops up. And they're just random. There's millions.
You could bring this home and really make the listeners happy with one good example of what a poster like that would say.
Yeah, it's not gonna
my happen. Money's against him.
I'm trying to think of a G-rated one for the radio.
Yeah, all right, good. Well, that's a good sign.
Verydemotivational.com. I have seen those posters. I didn't realize they had a site. Thank you very much for the call. All right, we got some great ones on hold, and we'll take your calls to 1-800-520-1067. How do you waste your time at work online? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
She just thinks it's a fun design.
Oh, yeah.
Magic. Not a clue.
So good.
All right. Let's get a couple of more on the air. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Macy on line 8. Call in with a great time waster for you at work. This is information you can use today when you go to work, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Macy. What do you got for us?
Hey, I'm also a big fan of StumbleUpon, but my time waster while I'm in class is textfromlastnight.com.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Textfromlastnight.com.
You guys should have a day where you just read all those random, like, insane drunken texts from last night.
Yeah. People should not drink and text, I think, is the message there. But it's sure fun to read about and read from.
No kidding.
Yeah. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call. Let's try Max, line 6. Hey, Max. Thanks for calling in. What's your time waster at work?
It's onlinebootycall.com.
Onlinebootycall.com.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, you pretty much, I mean, you type in your zip code or wherever you're from, and you find people that are looking just for hookups in your area, like one-night stands or whatever. So if you're not really the relationship type,
Miss
that's
Cleo.
The website for you.
All right. So his involves not only being on the internet, but then lunch at a hotel.
Exactly.
All right.
Now,
exactly.
tell the truth, dude.
Lunch break.
have you used it? Has it worked for you?
No, I've never used it. I don't need to, but I've had a couple friends that tried it, and it works.
Yeah, a couple friends, yeah. Right.
Okay.
All right,
yeah, not me. No, not me.
Not me. Are you kidding me? People. No, I'm happy. Other people.
Exactly. All right, thank you very much for the call. Who do we need to go to next?
Let's see here. Let's go to David and find out what his trick is. Hey, David.
How's it going? All right, so pretty much...
Hey, it's going good. How's it going with you?
Sorry. You go to Wikipedia. And there's a link that says random article. You click on that.
Wait a minute, hold on. Slow down, man. You're slurring. We can't understand a word you're saying.
There's a link that says what?
Sorry. Okay. There's a link that says random article.
Random article. Okay. All right. Good.
Random article. Correct. You click on that, and it takes you to just a random Wikipedia page.
Right.
And on Wikipedia page, there's multiple links to just about everything.
Right.
It's pretty much a game. You see how many links you go through to get to Adolf Hitler's page.
Oh, I see. So sometimes it'll be three clicks. Sometimes it'll take 3 days. When you get to Hitler, you win or lose? How does that work?
You press one. It's not as easy as you would think. It takes, like, the first time it'll take you probably an hour to get to it. But after you learn, okay, this is what this, you know. It's up to you.
But now that you're an expert, you could get there pretty quickly, I imagine.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
good times. I put it like three, but yeah.
Nice.
All right. Well done. Thank you for the call. By the way, there's a bunch of sites, and I love these. There's one for Twitter. There's one for LiveJournal, where it's just a constant feed of the photographs that people are posting on their blog pages or that they're tweeting.
Huh.
Where's that?
I don't know. I'm giving enough information that somebody could find it if they chose to. But you talk about something that's random. I mean, you don't know if the next photo is going to be the picture of a decapitated head on a freeway or a baby being born. I mean, or a little animal in the snow. I mean, every single picture that somebody is blogging or tweeting comes up one right after another. That's pretty addictive too.
Yeah. It could turn bad quickly though.
It certainly could.
I could not be good. All right, let's go to Tim, who has a good tip. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
Tim. Hi.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, I work every single day now. It seems like I'm on Fark.com.
Fark.com is one of the best sites. They have all the funny stories and stuff like that. But now they also have, like, entertainment pages and video pages and all kinds of stuff.
And geek news.
Geek news, right?
Politics, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was bad before, but I'm just hooked. I don't do anything at work now. I'm just on Fark.com and Craigslist.
Excellent.
And for folks who are nervous because they've got kids in the car, he is saying Fark, F-A-R-K.
Right, of course.
That website. Thank you very much. Right. One more, because this is a classic. Ophelia is on line 8. And this is one we definitely have to mention because I know a lot of people love it. Hi, Ophelia. What's going on?
At work, I read F My Life just because it's funny and it's a quick laugh at work when it's really slow.
You read what? F My Life?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And it's people complaining about how bad things have gone for them?
Yeah, and it's ridiculous what people write in, though.
Yeah.
It is the best way to feel good about, no matter how bad your job is, you're still doing better than the people who are writing into F My Life. That's true.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
By the way, the willpower too. That's a good one to go to. It's NSFW.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you might not want to. So the Winter Olympics are happening, of course. Friday night was the opening ceremonies.
Uh-huh.
And I don't love everything about the Olympics. I'll tell you that. There are a lot of sports where I go, okay, nope, no thank you. For example, any kind of figure skating, I'm out.
And yet one of the most popular of all of them.
I know. And they made a decision that they were going to show that instead of hockey. There was a lot of people going, oh, you're crazy. The opening ceremonies I love because they try the impossible. And that is that they have to summarize the entire history of the host country.
Really, the world.
Artistically, though. Yeah. It has to be like super unique and artistic. And I got to tell you, the Olympics in China, the opening ceremonies were amazing.
Yeah, they were.
Canada, not so much. Not so much. Aww. They had Donald Sutherland, who apparently is Canadian.
Yes. And every famous Canadian made an appearance one way or another on the opening ceremonies Friday night.
And he was reading, I don't know, poems or something from Britain.
No, by the thread of music woven through this fragile web of cadences I spin.
I'm out right there.
That I have only caught these songs since you voiced them upon your haunting violin. Pauline Johnson.
And it tells the name of it. And then they go in to tell you about the history of the violin or something in Canada. What?
There is a great tradition of fiddle music in Canada. It dates back centuries. And here you have the image of a fiddler dueling with his own shadow in the moon.
Okay. All right, take it easy.
And what does this have to do with lujing?
There's a fiddler dueling with his shadow. What?
So let me ask you this, because you frequently, a theme of Kevin's life is when I'm running things, it's going to be different.
Yes.
This doesn't matter whether you're talking about sports, you're talking about politics. Kevin has he has all the answers. We just haven't bothered.
Correct.
Out. So if you were directing, managing, conceiving the opening ceremonies, would you do none of this? You do no nod to the history of the country where it's being held, or you'd just do it differently somehow?
I would do it differently. I would do it good. I would do it well. I would do it better. I would not have many, many, many poems
read by Donald Sutherland.
That I would walk to the end of the street and out over the prairie with the clickety grasshoppers bunging in arcs ahead of me. And
F you!
I could hear the hum and twang of the wind and the great prairie harp of telephone wires. Standing there with a total thrust of prairie sun on my vulnerable head, I guess I learned at a very young age that I was mortal. W.O. Mitchell.
Would you do that, Bean?
I gotta tell you, the tribute to prairie grass. No kidding, Lisa. You didn't see it. The tribute to prairie grass. Am I lying if I say it was 10 minutes?
It was 10 minutes, yeah.
It was 10 minutes of a guy running around in the arena there at the BC Arena, running around on little patches of grass that they projected onto the floor. And I'm thinking, why do we – look, Canada's a great country, has great history. Why do we need 10 minutes on the prairie grass?
Don't.
Right, exactly.
Then they went into some dude that won a contest on YouTube.
Okay, I didn't get this guy at all. About? I don't know that if I was – maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention.
No, it didn't make any sense. You were paying attention.
Who was this guy?
Some dude they found on YouTube. They said, we discovered this guy on YouTube. Listen.
Define Canada. Some say what defines us is something as simple as please and thank you. Canada is the what and what's new. So don't let your luggage define your travels. Each life unravels differently, and experiences are what make up the colors of our tapestry.
I would tell you that I wouldn't do that. I'll tell you that right now.
Apparently, he's some sort of slam poet. There's competitions where guys get up there and they freestyle like that, like a rapper, except they do it in a spoken word format. And right. I know it's very popular with some people.
That's fine. Don't do that.
I don't believe it added anything to my enjoyment of the ceremony, I'll tell you that.
For some reason, the organizers of the committee always have to speak, and they're always, always bad.
Oh, why do they public do that?
Speaking,
they are terrible.
Public speaking, pastors and churches give sermons. It's an art.
Yes.
And guys who are on committees can't necessarily do it.
It is now the turn of the West Coast of this wonderful sports-loving nation to host the world's athletes.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all we're going to need from you right there.
And what's worse, Lisa, is that it's in Canada, so they have to do everything in both official languages
for
the country. So every time you listen to boring guys speak for 20 minutes in English, then you have to listen to another boring guy speak for 20 minutes in French.
Very often, a host city will have its own unique way of igniting the cauldron, and we don't know yet how they plan to do it here.
Now, this made me feel good because we have a lot of technical problems on this program.
Yeah.
But on this level of a stage, to see things go wrong is awesome. You watch it and you go, wow, they're stalling. They're just waiting and waiting. Then they start talking about Wayne Gretzky, who's one of the guys that has the flame. And then they start talking about somebody else.
Is it killing time?
Yeah, I swear to God, that was 10 minutes, right, Bean? It was like...
Yeah, it was. They were waiting to fix something. Some problem went with one of the trap doors in the floor that was supposed to allow a fourth of the cauldron to appear. And they could not get it fixed. You just know they were freaking out. You're on live TV around the world. Or tape delay, unfortunately, in many parts of the world. And guys are running around under the arena going, we have to fix this. What are we going to do?
What's happening? They're just freaking out. And they stalled for 10 minutes before three out of the four came up. And it was just so anticlimactic. But it wasn't as anticlimactic as tap dancing. Now, I hate tap dancing.
Yes.
Tap dancing is for your kid. If you have a kid that's like 5 and under, you go, oh, how cute. After that, outlawed. No tap dancing. You don't need...
I was having bad Riverdance flashbacks, too.
Okay, so it's the opening ceremony for the Olympics for Canada, and there's one dude tap dancing. Really? But at least it was short.
It went on a while.
Do they have a long history of tap dancing?
Apparently.
Come on. You wouldn't have done any of those opening ceremonies, right, Bean? I mean, that was just brutal.
There were parts of it that were visually stunning. I will tell you that I was very impressed with how they made it snow in there with the stars that they projected
Whatever.
Everywhere. I was very impressed with the whales going across the floor. I mean, that was super cool looking. But I could have used a little less of, you know, Bryan Adams singing. Because
you get it,
doesn't mean you have to invite Bryan Adams.
Oh, dear God.
It had some problems.
China made Canada their bitch. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, China did win. That's
I mean,
true.
They really destroyed. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 8 o'clock.
I don't mind. It's local H.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You know?
Here's Rough Guard with Show Me Speed.
Yeah. Screw you.
We're running a little late.
Happy Tuesday, mother effers. Here's good news. I'll make it all worth your while. Sticking through local H to hear the showbiz news. Madonna's going to direct another movie.
Yes.
Yay! That's right. The woman who can't act now proves she can't direct once again. This is her second film, by the way. She did a one in 2008 called Filth and Wisdom, which, sure, it was panned by critics, but audiences hated it.
It was unwatchable, I heard.
Hearing of it.
Yeah, it was awful. Now, she is doing a period drama.
Yes.
Based on the legendary romance between throne in order to marry the American commoner Wallace Simpson. Sampson, rather.
I think it's Simpson.
Is it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Simpson,
yeah. Great story. I mean, great story. That could be a great movie.
Madonna, and the hands of Madonna, it's going to be an epic.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the sad news. It looks like Vera Farmiga is going to play Wallace.
Oh, she's so great.
She's so great, and it's a great story. Yeah, two out of three things there to make a good movie. But Madonna's going to direct. If we can just get Andrew Dice Clay to play King Edward, we'll be perfect.
The director has the biggest say over how a movie comes out, though, right?
I mean, it is a director's medium, as they say, Kevin.
That's not good.
No, it is not.
You have good actors, good writing, everything else. You got a bad director.
Can still put it right in the dumper.
Excellent.
Speaking of directing, John Mayer has a job offer. This interview he did for Playboy just keeps coming back to bite him in the ass. Just, he couldn't have done worse. I don't think he could have given a worse interview if he wanted to. He dropped the N-word, first of all.
Oh, really?
Because he has friends.
And he has an N-word pass, apparently, because he's so entrenched in the African-American community. Well, turns out they don't like using the N-word, white boy. Especially Oprah Winfrey. He wanted to come on her show and sort of apologize. She's like, no thanks, N-word user.
Wow. I'm surprised that Oprah would turn down that opportunity. That's instant controversy for her show.
Now, Vivid Entertainment is offering John a job to direct a porn movie. Because he said in the interview, directing a porno film would be, quote, my dream job.
All right.
Steve Hirsch, head of Vivid Entertainment, said that John's incredible talent and passion could translate into a highly erotic adult film. Okay, why don't you get Madonna instead? To direct your crap.
Lisa, he said that his penis was racist. His penis was a Klansman and would never go near a black woman. That's what he said in this interview. Yeah. And then he surprised it.
I want to have sex. I got plenty of hot black women who like me.
Right.
I want to have sex with them, but my penis just won't go for it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he could not have given a worse interview. I don't know what he was smoking. But he did himself no favors. Today's celebrity birthdays. Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters is 38 years old. Drummer Dave Lombardo. His brother Guy used to do a big New Year's Eve show every year.
I don't think that's
the same. Oh, yeah.
I don't believe
Guy used to be in Slayer. He left early.
That's not true.
In the early incarnation of the Slayer. He used to play accordion.
That is true?
Yeah.
Did you say accordion?
Yeah. F your mom, die. Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah. That's the guy.
That was Slayer parking lot.
Hey, we don't have time for all of it.
Dave Lombardo is 45 years old today. Andy Taylor from Duran Duran is 49 years old. William Catt, the greatest American hero, is 59 years old. Jeremy Bullock, who was the guy under the helmet in the Boba Fett costume in The Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
He is 64 years old today. And LeVar Burton, of course, from Star Trek The Next Generation, from Roots. And, of course, from Reading Rainbow is 53 years old today. Who are the people who say Roots, by the way?
Dave.
Same people say Ruff. Ruff?
Yeah. Dave the
King of
Mexico.
Get up on the roof of the house and see where the tree's roots go.
And Wolfman.
Woof.
Same guy.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Who you trying to get crazy with this, eh? This, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
There it is. Why
didn't I wear my flannel when I got up this morning? I could fit in.
Yeah, you wouldn't fit in anyway, but don't worry about it.
I think, honestly, if somebody walked in the room and had to look around and go, which guys are in Cypress Hill and which guys are not, I think they could figure it out.
Pretty easy at this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are very excited to welcome back. They're one of our favorites here at the Kevin Amede Show. Our friends, Be Real, Send Dog, Bobo from Cypress Hill.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Thank you.
Long
very much.
Time no see. How you guys been, man?
It's been very good, man. We've been finishing up this record. We've been doing little shows here and there. You know, we just relaunched our Cypress Hill Smokeout this year. I mean, last year. It was great. Mm-hmm. It's been really good.
And you got your own studio, and you
yes.
record when the inspiration hits. You're not on the man's dime anymore. It's like whenever you feel it, that's when you go in and lay it down.
Exactly. We right. record out of this place, well, my place called The Temple, which is in Chatsworth, and we've just been putting everything down between my studio and Muggs' studio up in Burbank.
Do you have video games there? Because I would never get to music if I did.
We do have video games there, but there's only certain ones we carry so that we don't get locked in.
Okay, that's important. I would never record music if I had.
Yeah, because
if I had weed and video games,
no,
that's it.
No, the new game that's killing my studio is the Call of Duty. Because Exhibit is like he's one of the regulars in my studio because we do this thing called the 420 Show. It's a live stream we do on Stickcam every day. And he's there, and he's supposed to be the co-host, but usually he's playing Call of Duty, so yeah. he's hosting the video game.
You got to get worse. You have to get worse video games.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You concentrate on
Miss Pac-Man or something. Throw it old school.
We have talked recently with our listeners about video games that they get addicted to, and I'm telling you, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, World of Warcraft and games like that that people have been hooked on over the years, but this Call of Duty has created a national obsession with people who can do nothing else once they start playing.
Yeah, didn't they have some sort of story that the women were getting pissed off at their guys
sure.
because they were spending more time playing Call of Duty.
Sure.
It has ended
exactly.
marriages. That's there is for that. Sure. Yeah.
I'd rather play with something else than Call of Duty.
You're talking about Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So let's get some business out of the way first, because you have been busy. It's not like you guys have been sitting on your asses, but it has been 6 years since the last Cypress Hill studio album. I mean, that seems like a long time
it
in
is.
Between records. Certainly longer than you've ever waited before in between.
Very long. Yeah. Usually our wait is, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah.
2-3 years at the longest,
yeah.
you know.
At the most.
Usually a pretty quick, like a 2-year turnaround.
So what happened? What was the difference?
Well, you know, we all had individual things we wanted to do. Bobo put out Meeting of the Minds, which is, you know, he did a percussion record with DJs and certain artists and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. did a collaboration like that. Sendog did two albums. There was the Reyes Brothers, and then what was the other one? Your solo record, right?
Diary of a Mad Dog.
And Muggs, he had various projects he was producing. He did Muggs versus Jizza, Muggs versus Jackin. He's doing Muggs versus Ill Bill. He did so many Soul Assassins records. Me, I just had a solo record that I wanted to put out. I had one little sticky project.
You guys need to have less talent. I think that's, you know, if all you can do is Cypress Hill, now you start cranking stuff out.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like Sendog said the other day. We were doing this interview the other day, and the guy asked him why the need for so many projects, and he hit it on the head. It's like, if you're an artist, you know, there's certain ideas that you might have for something, but it doesn't fit what we have with Cypress
right.
Hill. Cypress
right.
Hill's a certain formula, and we can't go too far to the left because it just wouldn't be Cypress Hill.
Right.
So we take our individual ideas that might not fit, but we feel are good enough to use somewhere else, and we use them on our solo efforts and stuff like that. So it's just a way, and Sendog put this, you know, great the other day, is it's a way to get out this creativity so we can get it out of our system and then come back to the mothership and bring back those experiences into the fold, you know.
Well, you're back to the
Amen.
Mothership now.
Yeah for
yes.
sure.
And there's a song on your website, cypresshill.com, you can download, called It Ain't Nothing. Here's a little bit of that.
It's like you always spitting the same rhymes. We put you all to shame. You never went through the same grind. Put you in the bind from the minute you came by. So stay in your lane to get wet by the rain. You wanna step up, get your ass touched. You wanna rep, son, get your ass.
Come on, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
It was really good. Now, how long has that been up for download? Is it just recently?
Yeah, I think
a couple days.
Four or 5 days maybe. Yeah.
There's something I'm not very good at. It's hard to describe. I have trouble describing music, but there's something about your sound that's fun, but it's also hard. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Lisa, I know you get your mind out of the gutter. I'm talking about. I don't know what the instruments are that contribute to the sound, but there's something vaguely threatening about it. And as a white guy, I'm uncomfortable when I hear it.
Well, we make it just for that purpose, you know.
Just to scare the whitest of the white.
Yeah, yeah,
we're trying to scare the whiteys into liking us. Like us or die.
Now, I have to ask, because this Rise Up, this new record that comes out April 6th from Cypress Hill. And if you're just joining us, by the way, Be Real, Send Dog Bobo in the studio. You're listening to The Kevin Bean Show. We're going to hear the title track here in a couple minutes. Tell me how, and tell the listeners how, Snoop Dogg fits into this equation, because this is a new business partnership, right?
Well, yeah, you know, we've known Snoop forever. You know, we've always rode that pro-marijuana line. His is more for enjoyment. Ours is all around political and enjoyment.
Wait, you're pro-marijuana?
That's what they told me. Before I walked in the door, they told me that.
We did a 420 show one time, and Be Real showed up, and he had a joint the size of my thigh.
it was a Subway footlong. It really was.
No, it
was awesome.
Wait, if you go back and look at the photos for this last smokeout, these guys rolled me a 4-ounce joint.
Wow!
I swear to God, this thing was huge,
and,
man.
And how long did it take you?
I never finished.
Come on,
I didn't finish. I got about maybe a quarter of the way. I mean, I couldn't smoke that damn thing myself.
Yeah, a lot of help.
I mean, I could have if I had more time on the stage, but I only had 45 minutes. So smoking the whole 4 ounces in 45 minutes, I would be brain dead right now.
Yeah. By the way, they
would have willed me in here.
this 420 party that Kevin's talking about, I remember it so well, because you pulled it out. We're doing a 420 party. It's a party machine. We're having fun. Right. Remember, we had hundreds of listeners down there, really having a great time. And you were kind enough to come down and be a guest that day. I think you had a record coming out. And you pulled that thing out. I remember the manager of the club that we were at came up to it. It was like a stare down for just a minute. He was like, sir, you can't, you know you can't light that up in here. You looked up at him like, oh, yeah?
If I recall correctly, you said nothing, and he turned around and walked away.
Right. I was like, what's going to happen?
Nicely done.
All right, so we got off track there. Okay. So we're talking about Snoop. So Snoop what's he doing? What's his involvement? He's as a president of the record company or something?
He's like a creative consultant, I think. He comes in at that capacity, and one of his first things that he wanted to do was get us signed to Priority, because they were relaunching Priority, which was pretty much one of the major labels on the West Coast that had some of the greatest hip-hop records that represented the West Coast. They had N.W.A., they had Ice Cube, they had
Run-DMC.
Run-DMC, not Priority. Profile had Run-DMC.
Oh, that's right.
They had a lot of the great West Coast artists. And since they were doing a relaunch, you know, they got Snoop involved to try to get that old feeling back. And being that we go way back with Snoop, you know, he thought it was a good idea to come after us. And we were like, okay, we were free agents at that point. We weren't even finished with the record yet. They had heard about it. And I guess somebody heard like a couple of snippets and, you know, it all started from there, and
perfect fit.
Fortunately, we ended up inking this deal with EMI Priority, and we're definitely excited because we're from the West Coast. We've never been on any other label that was West Coast. We're always on Sony, Roughhouse, Columbia, whatever, and that was based out of the East Coast. So any press, any meetings, anything that was anything to do with our records, we had to fly to New York.
Fly all the way.
That's a bad choice.
Now it's a 20-minute drive down to Capitol Records. I love that.
I like that, yeah.
Are you guys, last question before the break, and then we'll come back and play Rise Up, brand new Cypress Hill for you here on the Kevin Bean Show. Are you surprised at all that you guys are together 20, well, it's got to be over 20 years at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've known each other over 20 for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Our friendship goes beyond the group. I think B was like 13 years old when I met him, and I was around 17 or something. So it doesn't surprise me that we're still friends, you know what I mean?
It surprises me only in that people who spend that much time together,
it seems like bands just they can't take each other.
Truth be told, I can't stand this guy.
I was reading that. I didn't say it out loud, but
he's a jokester. He loves me, man.
No, but I mean the pressures of the music biz and the traveling and what songs and PR and all that kind of stuff does drive people apart sometimes.
It does, but we always have fun when we go out and do our shows. It's never like work. We're always having fun doing it, and that's the most important part of doing music is to still have fun, and also it still be a passion to you and not like a burden in a job. When it becomes that, you can tell, and that's when you become like the Eagles. Nobody wants to fly together. Nobody even wants to talk.
Separate buses, whatever.
Only interaction they have is on stage. You know what I mean? But you know, we did put in place one rule: Bobo has to sleep in the van instead of the bus.
Is that right?
I don't know why I've been banished, but
I believe it involves farting. I know that.
His flatulence is unflattering.
I like it.
All right. Cypress Hill is here. April 6th is when Rise Up comes out. We are going to hear it. And by the way, this track, and we'll get the story after we hear the song, also features our friend Tom Morello playing guitar on this. So stick around for that. Rise Up from Cypress Hill next, right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Our friend Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine says Cypress Hill are back with a vengeance, and he should know. He is playing on two tracks on the forthcoming Cypress Hill album called Rise Up. This is one of them, and it's the title song. Rise Up, brand new Cypress Hill, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then we'll come back to talk to the guys.
City, the American dream is far from me, and the streets are gritty. Everywhere I turn, I'm on a mission for more, but I ain't selling my soul for the dough. That's no go. I'm on the one-way ride to the top. I'm hitting the strip. I got a sound that'll rattle your block. I'm in the fast lane and I won't stop. You ain't nothing but talk. You couldn't hang on the rope I walk. This life that I live, it ain't for the weak. I'm a rowdy gangster that came off the street. I'm trying to keep the peace, but I gotta keep my peace. Got these punk police want me R.I.P. And I'm searching for the higher ground. I want my head in the sky, so high that I can't come down. Legalized in every town across the nation, cause you can never stop the place. And my frame is heavy. You wanna look inside and see who's flossing the ride. Curiosity is killing you and stinging your pride. I get high, but we're flipping the set. Now we're flipping the script. And all you haters couldn't hold my dick. Don't need a clip, but my nine is straight. You should leave it alone and check your toe, cause my nine will spit. This right here's as high as it gets. Somebody like this. The hell kept it real cause we stepped on a set. So just go for a show, you gotta cut the check. Got my Glock on deck and my custom vest reads. You can't put me on the best, and you can keep the dress, cause I smoke nothing less than the step back. I'm tired of getting pushed. Gotta rise up. Rise up, 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 rise
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 8:31.
Well, that doesn't suck. Let me tell you, that's Rise Up, and that is brand new Cypress Hill, brought to us, hand-delivered by B-Real, Sendog, Bobo from the band in studio.
Yeah.
That sounds like an anthem, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That sounds like hands in the air like you just don't care time is what that sounds like.
Take it easy, white guy.
Obviously, fans of yours and fans of Rage know that you guys have been buds forever, but how did it work out that you ended up in the studio together on this one?
I did a couple years ago this tour with Tom Morello called the Night Watchman thing he was doing.
Right.
And we were hanging around every now and then, and he started asking me, like, hey, are you guys doing an album yet? And I was like, yeah. He goes, because I think I got one. And I was like, oh, really? I go, well, you know, yeah, let's get it down there and see what happens. So we had it sent down to B Studio and whatnot.
So he says, I think I got one, meaning he's got the riff and he played it and said.
Well, yeah, because we had been talking about doing tracks forever. I mean, we've done various things together. You know, they remade our How I Could Just Kill a Man thing, and then they asked us to come perform it with them on one of their performances at the Olympic Theater.
Oh, right. That was so awesome.
And then Morello, he did some remixes for us back in the day. And so we just always talked about working on something more original for one of the albums. And finally, you know, him and Sendog talked. And he was, you know, and it was one of those things where, you know, we know he's really busy. And we weren't that busy at that point because we were recording for our album. And we're like hoping to get the track from him. And finally, he was like, I you know, he called Sen, I got one. And then I got the word, and I was totally messing with my management, with our management when they called on it. It was a funny story because we got the beat, and I called Sen. I said, "Hey, this is powerful, man. You like it?" And he's like, "I love it. Let's do it." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." Management calls, "Hey, man, did you hear that track yet, man? It's great. It's totally powerful." I said, "Man." That track sucks, man.
There was
a pause for a minute, and I said, "I'm just kidding, man. This track is awesome. I just wanted to see your reaction."
Tom is one of those guys who you cannot. I was just talking to Mike about it during the song. You don't need to be told it's him.
No,
right.
No.
He has a signature
sound. That's Tom Morello.
Yeah, definitely, he has his sound down.
And that's one of only two songs.
That's one of two. You know, the second one is very powerful too. You know, we figured let's go with the Rise Up because it's a title track to the album and whatnot. But the second one is flavor too. And
it's not a ballad. Because Tom does.
We're saving that one for the next one. Okay. Sendog's going to do Dancing with the Stars and then perform the ballad on there.
All right.
When he wins.
You're planning my future.
I'm your agent, Chacho. You didn't know this, man. No, we definitely love working with Tom. We were actually planning to, like, we were already planning out the next record. We're like, hey, man, we want you to do half of it. And, you know, so.
But this one, you're finished with this one, right?
Well, yeah, we're done with this one. Yeah.
April 6th.
Yeah,
April 6th.
Yeah.
Let's move that up.
Yeah.
April
6th. Yeah, let's do it.
It's done. Let's move that up. That's what I'm saying.
Let's do it.
Let's not wait.
Yeah.
But I'm saying let's do it now.
And there's no time like the present.
That's what I'm saying.
April 6th.
April 6th.
I hate waiting for my favorite band CDs to come out because then it seems like so much longer.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure we can work out an advanced listening just for you.
Guys, you know. Can we do it like a barbecue or something like that?
You always want to eat, you hungry bastard.
All right, so big plan. I imagine with the new album coming out, you guys are going to take it on the road, right? Big plans for the summer, I hope.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to go hit up Europe as usual, and then we're going to come back home and rip the States apart with this new record.
Awesome.
At least that's the plan. That's the plan.
Worldwide.
I hope this song is ours to keep. You're not going to take it away with you, are you? Can we have it? I mean, is this something we can now play?
Or? Yeah, I think
you want to play it.
Yeah.
Do we want to play it?
We're actually filming the video for this song today, so we'll be seeing Tom, you know, in a few hours.
Yeah,
we're doing
best.
This video, and you know, hopefully, it'll be something that people like to see as well as listen to.
We have a clip of the other song that Tom Morello plays.
Oh,
on.
Yeah,
this is it.
I'm not the typical rapper that you'll meet.
This is my best work ever.
Sound as good as the last one, but
I'll
take that. He was about to kick it in. He got the wrong clip.
We can't hit home runs on all of them.
give Tom our best. We love that dude, and he actually, we were his phone call one time from jail, one of the many times that he got arrested. He called us in the morning, and I'll never forget that was the call he made.
We're like, we're your call? What are you doing? Don't you have a lawyer or somebody you should call?
He's just passionate. He's a passionate dude about so many things, and man, what a guitar player, and man, what a great band you guys are. And here you are with another record coming out April the 6th called Rise Up. Cypress Hill is back, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to get it, and be sure to listen to this radio station for announcements on when you might be able to see them coming up this summer. Yeah. All right, Cypress Hill, you guys are the best, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're getting a little bit of a contact high just sitting here in the studio.
No kidding.
I love those guys.
That kind of comes with. They are enjoying life, Cypress Hill. They are having a good time, and that new song we just played for you, Rise Up, is great. I hope we get a chance to play that one again soon. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, an Oscar-nominated screenwriter. He wrote a little movie called The Hurt Locker. We'll talk to writer Mark Boal coming up next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, time for something we like to call the Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
So you go to kevinandbean.com, you click on the sites, and the first one that we have for you today is Charlie Booker, I think is his name, Brooker. And he does a report on how to report the news. It's very funny. It's mocking newscasters and how they put it together. Mm-hmm. I think Ralph found this one for us.
It starts here with a lackluster establishing shot of a significant location.
Now, again, this is not any specific news story. It's just how they do generic every news story.
Next, a walkie-talkie preamble from the auteur, pacing steadily towards the lens, punctuating every other sentence with a hand gesture and ignoring all the pricks milling around him like he's gliding through the Matrix before coming to a halt and posing a question. What comes next? This is followed by the obligatory shots of overweight people with their faces subtly framed out, after which the report is padded out with a selection of lazy and pointless vox pops.
Usually get some inane chatter from people.
I hate these sound bites. I don't want some opinion usually. No.
So basically what he's saying is, all news stories are the same. They all look exactly the same. And they have a formula. And it doesn't really matter whether the story is interesting or they're talking about something that's important. It's just, it makes it look like news if they follow these simple steps.
Correct.
And he kind of proved it by talking about nothing.
Now, we had three clips of weathermen. The first one is a dude who has diarrhea. Now,
this one is so sad.
How do we know that, I wonder?
He's trying desperately to get through the forecast so that he can run. But you can tell by the sound in his voice that he's not positive he can make it another
second.
Yep. And his voice is all shaky. Listen to this dude.
Christmas, lots of snow and flurries, windy conditions on the Pacific Northwest. Oh, excuse me. Yeah. We gotta go to break.
Okay. Oh. Thank you very much, Jeff.
And he literally runs.
Oh my God.
He literally leaves the stage and runs off to the bathroom.
Mike has such a sympathetic look on his face
right now.
He just can't wait another second. He just bolts off the set and you're just staring at the map. He just leaves the map behind on TV. It's so sad and so funny.
You may have seen this one by now. If not, you have to. It's the Weatherman and the Cockroach.
This is funny.
This dude is very, very scared of cockroaches. More than you and I would say.
Getting in on the heavier rainfall, and eventually the usher can... Oh my God, that is... Oh my God! Oh no!
That happens during the
One of the YouTube comments on that video is, well, if his coworkers didn't know he was gay before...
Yeah.
And finally, for the weathercast, the AccuWeather.com snowpocalypse. Listen to this dude. This dude loses
14 to 22 inches of snow! Winding down Saturday afternoon. Tertiary problem? Blowing and drifting! Oh, 3, 4, 5 feet drifts! More snow showers later Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah, he's having trouble with the storm.
And finally, Wing.
Yeah!
The world's best worst singer, who we had on the show, I believe, when was it? It was last
couple
week.
Weeks. Couple weeks, yeah.
She sings Beat It, the Michael Jackson song.
And yes, she does.
She really brings it. The ones who are fake, they will disappear. They'll fall in their eyes, and the worst I really be. I still beat it, just beat it. You better run, you better do what you can. The one that's
She's strong,
you
huh?
Better be tough, better do what you can, so be it. But you
I'm afraid nobody will remember Michael Jackson's version.
Good point.
No one born to be defeated. So
You wouldn't think you could take an iconic song and make it your own, but she has been able to do that. And let me tell you what's great about this clip is not only does she perform it on a TV show, but there's like a 5-minute interview with her, too. So you really do get to know the real Wing. It's yeah. totally worth checking out.
She's the best. So go to kevinb.com, click on Internet Roundup, then click on More, and you can see all of today's. And then at the bottom of that, you can click here, and it'll show all the ones that we've done in the last year or so. So check that out at kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You have access to the information. Even talking about that topic, no one cares.
That what? Was a moment with Kevin.
Wait, I'm confused. Can we send that to the lab? I need translations, please.
I don't know what that was.
Once again, Ralph, and this is starting to frighten me, it took a Kevin and Bean listener to email us and say, are you guys not even listening to the show anymore? How come you don't even catch these moments with anymore? There's so many. They come so fast and furious that we can't really keep track of all of them, I guess.
They say when you have kids, you know, the screams of your babies don't bother you nearly as much as the screams of other people's babies. I think we're just a nerd to it now. We just can't. We just goes right in one ear out the other.
It is funny that we just none of us even noticed that. That's just Kevin business as usual as far as I was concerned.
And a big thanks to the listeners too. That's great.
All right,
time for the listening closely.
Yeah, well done. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's our friend Ralph Graham.
Celebrities, they love to party. How f***ed up can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
All right, put your bets in, everybody. No more bets, no more bets. Oh, a big double winner today. Two celebrities enter rehab today. One is Chyna Phillips, formerly of the pop group Wilson Phillips, who checked herself into rehab for, her manager says, anxiety. I am shocked that she still has a manager. What is that woman doing to earn her paycheck?
That is a good question.
Chyna Phillips still has a manager? Wilson Phillips hasn't put out a record in 20 years. Shockingly, they did put out a record not too long ago, but it, you know, sunk like a stone. I mean, the manager's not doing a very good job, that's for sure, if nobody heard about it.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
She's going into rehab for anxiety.
You can be hooked on anxiety?
Apparently. After much thoughtful deliberation, Chyna Phillips has checked herself into an undisclosed treatment facility for anxiety, her manager says. I don't know what that means, but apparently
it's code.
It all goes back to Mackenzie Phillips, her half-sister, who disclosed a sexual relationship with their mutual father, John Phillips, this year, and apparently just put Chyna into a spin.
Hey,
you weren't the one boned by your dad? Relax.
No, but it was his sister.
Kick back. Have a cocktail. You dodged the bullet.
You win.
That's right. You're the big winner. Another rehab roulette winner today is Brooke Mueller, who Charlie Sheen's wife, who denied going into rehab in January. Now she's in for painkillers, and apparently it's the real deal. So maybe she should have gone to January when we all said you were going.
Yeah.
Maybe she listened to us a little bit more, a little less to your doctors, Brooke Mueller. We knew you needed it then. So, there's your update. Kim Kardashian.
Glenn Dale.
Listen, do it or don't do it.
What?
But don't half-ass it.
No, it was half-assed. It was.
Kim Kardashian.
Glenn Dale!
Thank you. Is more than just a starlet and weight loss spokesman. She's now a TV producer. Of course she is. She is launching a brand new show called The Spindustry.
The Spindustry.
Well, that sounds awful. It's a reality show that will feature publicists. Entertainment publicists.
Really?
Oh, no.
Like her mom?
Is her mom a publicist?
Well, she's her manager, I guess.
Manager. I don't think she's a publicist. Yeah. I don't think Kim's going to be in this one. She's just producing it. Apparently, the show will premiere right after. Oh, look at this. Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, what are the chances?
How did she get a deal with E? I'm amazed. Mm. You know what I think would be really interesting? A show about publicists. Could I have one? And she's interesting? Can I do that show? Yes, Kim, whatever you say. Just keep shaking that ass. I guess she sees how easy it is for Ryan Seacrest to produce shows like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, so she figures if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah. But her place is in front of the camera, by the way, not behind.
True. Yes.
For a good reason. She's amazingly hot. Okay, don't get behind the camera.
No. Hey, guys, is she in the We Are the World 25? Is that her in the video?
I have not seen the video.
Okay.
I don't know, but I saw Vince Vaughn.
I know that.
Yeah.
I
know I saw
that. I was only half paying attention when they aired that during the Olympic opening ceremonies, and I thought it was Kim Kardashian. Some super hot brunette was there, and I thought it might be her. I was just wondering.
How'd your Valentine's Day go? Anybody have anything happen spectacular on the Valentine's Day? Any special Valentine's
spectacular
Day?
Spectacular bad or good?
It was
good.
Great.
Oh, just, you have a good time?
Good?
Yeah. Everyone treat everybody? Yeah.
Something go wrong now?
No.
Anything you want to tell us?
No, I was just curious because Spencer and Heidi, of course, celebrated Valentine's Day this week.
Oh, sure.
Oh, well, they do it better than anyone, right?
Of course they do. And to prove that, they got the special Valentine's Day suite at Caesar's Palace Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. And promptly opened the doors and invited the paparazzi to come in and start taking pictures. When they got there, they found Heidi sprawled out on the bed in a corset, eating chocolate-covered strawberries, looking like a mannequin. And that's how they spent their Valentine's Day, by inviting photographers to come in and take pictures of them in their suite.
Wow.
Where witnesses say it looked like no one was ever going to have sex. So that was their time.
Don't the photographers at some point go... no. No thanks.
No, that's the problem.
They never say no.
Speaking of Valentine's Day.
Their skin is golden.
Yeah, the skin is golden. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to the movie Valentine's Day. Made $67 million over the four-day weekend.
And this is a movie that we all saw the trailer and none of us knew what it was about. Just that there are a lot of stars in it, right?
And it was about Valentine's Day and love and romance and unrequited love and loneliness and couplehood and things like that there. But I still looked at the trailer and went, eh.
Yeah, total in.
It wasn't like, I got to get out there.
$67 million is huge.
But the vaginas have spoken, my friend.
Yeah. Lisa, how was it?
I didn't go. The reviews were horrible.
Oh, please, like that's ever
like
stopped
that ever
you.
Slows
it
you down.
It does. Please. I like average romance movies. I don't like terrible romance movies.
Today's celebrity birthday is William Catt, the greatest American hero, is 59 years old today.
Believe it or not.
Special suit that made him fly and have powers.
That's what that was?
Awesome.
So he had no superpowers of his own until he put the suit on?
It was the suit, man. The suit, wow. Ralph. Hey. The suit. The I suit, didn't. Ralph.
I didn't see it.
His name was Ralph on the show. The character's name was Ralph Hinkley on the show.
He went on to do a rad softcore series after Greatest American Hero.
All right, Spanky, put it in your pants.
It's a really good one.
LeVar Burton's 53 years old today. We just don't have time for the Reading Rainbow theme, but come back in an hour and I'll hit you with it. Guitarist Andy Taylor from Duran Duran. He's 49. Dave Lombardo of Slayer is 45. Taylor Hawkins, another rock and roll drummer from Foo Fighters, is 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Kevin Smith, actor, writer, director, Silent Bob, asked to leave a plane in his seat coming home from Oakland over the weekend, flying into Burbank. Flight attendant comes up and says, Mr. Smith, you're going to have to leave. And boy, are they going to regret that decision. Boy, is Southwest Airlines not happy to hear what happened next. You'll hear it from Kevin Smith himself coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, very excited to talk to you. I don't believe we've ever had Mr. Bowl on the show before, but he is the Oscar-nominated screenwriter for a film that we all love and we could not talk about enough over the past year called The Hurt Locker. And Mark joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mark, thanks a lot for coming on, man. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're doing great. Congratulations. We had your buddy Jeremy Renner in here a couple of weeks ago, and I felt like we were just gaying off on him. We were so excited to meet him. We just couldn't stop talking about that movie. I mean, it's an unbelievable story that a movie like this gets made, gets popular, and now with 9 Oscar nominations, it must be a dream come true for you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys had Jeremy on. He's a great guy. And as far as the dream, I mean, I don't think any of us when we were starting out and shooting the film and trying to get financing and so forth really imagined that we'd be here, but it's pretty cool. And I just saw Jeremy last night and we were having a few cocktails and trying to enjoy every second of it.
And your story is interesting because it's not like you're a movie screenwriter. I mean, that's not up until this point what you've been doing, right?
Yeah, well, I started out as a journalist and as a magazine writer, and the whole movie came out of an idea I had when I was in Baghdad as a reporter watching the bomb squad do their thing. And so, yeah, I've kind of transitioned from journalism to screenwriting.
Did you ask to be sent to Iraq, or was that the idea of somebody else?
No, you know what? I actually asked and begged them to send me.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was that's where the story was, and I had been covering the military on the, from the state side, and I felt like at a certain point you kind of have to see what they're doing up close and personal if you really want to tell their story.
Right. And the story that you tell, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in the movie, but Staff Sergeant William James, who's played by Jeremy Rother, I mean, he is, if it's not too simplistic to say this, he's addicted to the adrenaline of that line of work. I mean, is that what you encountered in the guys that you met who do this kind of disarming bombs job on the warfield?
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty fair, you know, that's certainly one aspect of his character, and it's obviously a fictional character, so it's not that there's a one-to-one, you know, between him and somebody that I might have met over there. But this is a particular group of people, when you talk about the bomb squad, that volunteer to defuse bombs. So they do get a lot of excitement out of the, you know, the kind of rush of being that close to death. And so it's definitely not work for everybody.
I know you have people ask you all the time if it was based on a real person. Do you have anybody that was over in Iraq that contacts you and go, hey, was that based on me?
No, I mean, it's based on... you know, the experiences like any other writer, and a fair amount of you know poetic license and imagination on my part in terms of trying to come up with a good movie, you know, because
right.
It's not a documentary, although it does look very realistic. It's a movie, and hopefully people see it that way. And I don't know if there's a soldier over there that thinks it's him. You know, I suppose I'm flattered, but it's not.
Did you have any input in how the movie was made with Catherine Bigelow, or once you sold the story, were you pretty much just on the outside waiting for it to come out like everybody else?
Oh, no. You know, Catherine was really terrific about that, and she I not only did I write it, but I also she brought me on as one of the producers, and so I was involved in the film and got to go on set in Jordan, and really the great pleasure of my life was to see actors like Jeremy take what I had written and bring it to life. So I was pretty involved in that, and also in the release and everything else. So it's been a tremendous journey, and I feel very lucky because I know that most writers, as you say, they write the script and it gets sent off, and that's the last they hear about it.
Are you the person that we need to blame for having Evangeline Lilly in the movie for such a small amount of time? Is that you?
Well, you know, you might blame me. I mean, I wrote the scene about 3 seconds longer than it actually ended up on screen, but... Yeah,
you don't have Evangeline Lilly and just throw her in a passing shot. Come
on. You're right. Well, that's one of the things I look back on and really shake my head about.
All right.
It does seem like some of the soldiers should have been having dream sequences about her that were very elaborate and all filmed for the movie.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe for the sequel.
One of the things that we've talked about when we've discussed Hurt Locker on this show, and if you're just joining us, the Oscar-nominated screenwriter of the Hurt Locker film, which is available everywhere on DVD or on demand, Mark Bohl is on the phone with us on the Kevin Beach Show. One of the things we talked about that's so interesting about your movie versus so many of the other movies that have come out since the Iraq conflict began is that there's no point of view politically in the movie. Was that a conscious choice? Did you feel that would take away kind of from the everyman aspect of the story of the characters you were telling?
Well, you know, I tried to make it as emotional as possible, and I don't think, you know, personally I don't find politicians that emotional, but I think it, you know, look, you've got guys running around getting killed and kids as the victims of the war, and if you watch this movie and it seems like things are going well over there, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, to me it's a pretty graphic depiction of the horror of war and the price that the men pay, you know, who have to fight it.
But you did a good job of not putting too fine a point on that. A lot of times, man, it just seems like they just go over, they beat you over the head with it.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully the film speaks for itself. And like I said, most people find it pretty graphic and pretty tense. And you know, we've taken some flack from certain pro-war sectors of the blogosphere. But that's, I guess, kind of comes with the territory.
Did you get anybody from, I don't know, studios on down saying, hey, how about a different ending? I love the ending, but it, you know, a lot of times that doesn't fly well.
Well, you know, no studio really wanted to make the movie. So I don't even think they got that far into the script to say change the ending. No studio and really none of the usual suspects of independent financiers wanted to make it. So we ended up really making it off the grid with foreign financing, and the great part about that was that nobody commented on the script. I mean, it was money coming out of Bulgaria and France, and
I can give you notes.
The good news is they don't speak English, so
they can give you notes, and you could go, "I don't speak. I don't know what you're saying."
Yeah, exactly. So that worked out really well, and Catherine was just a huge supporter of the material, and in all seriousness, so was Nicolas Chartier, who was the financier.
As great as it would be for you and for all the other many nominees associated with Hurt Locker for the Oscars coming up next month, I guess the biggest plus would be more people would go see the movie if it gets some of that high-profile time on TV that night.
Yeah, I guess it would. It would have that effect. Although, to be honest with you, just the mere announcement of the nominations has had a really strong effect on the DVD sales and DVD rentals and so forth. We were number one in terms of downloads and rentals on Netflix and iTunes. And that's just incredible for a movie that came out during the summer 6 months ago and was never really designed to be a tentpole to have this kind of life. So it's one of the real upsides of the whole Oscar thing.
Were you up watching when the nominations were announced and then you realized, hey, I'm in a category with guys like the Coen brothers and Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, I was up. I got up. It was whatever it was, 5 o'clock in the morning, and it just happened so fast, you know, and I thought, man, I wish I had a longer last name, like where they could just draw it out a little longer.
So I take it, Mark, that you are a screenwriter now. No more going to Iraq for you and writing articles for magazines, right? You're in the movies now, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess I've been seduced, and I've been really lucky to have this is now the second thing that I've tried that has worked out, and so I want to keep doing it as long as they'll let me do it. Although that said, I do love journalism too, so maybe I can somehow figure out how to do both. Yeah.
Your other movie, The Valley of Vela, was fantastic too.
Thank you. And you know, there were a few attempts before that where I tried to get the bat on the ball and I didn't. So I just feel really lucky because I know it certainly doesn't always work out.
You're a downer. Don't get me wrong. Your movies are downers, yeah. But I love them.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Well, congratulations. As we have so often said on this show, next to The Hangover, you got the best movie of the year from last year, Mark. And we appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'll take that. I love The Hangover, so I'll take that as a very good compliment. Thank you very much.
Thanks. All right. Good luck at the Oscars, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Time for one final look at the show. Biz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
I want to give you a heads up. If you want to come out tomorrow night to the Irvine Improv down in Irvine, California, Adam Carolla is doing his live podcast down there. I will be joining Adam. We'll be having a good time. Apparently, there's some seats left only for the second show, the 10 o'clock show.
Which we call the drunk show.
The drunk show.
The better
exactly.
One.
Someone sent me an email and said, why are you always so much louder in the second show of Adam's podcast? I was like, figure it out. Yeah. I'm all juiced up on Jack Daniels. So anyway, it's going to be a good time. Come on out if you get a chance tomorrow night. You can go to adamcarolla.com. For more details and to buy tickets. He's not like 80. He's not being pushed around in a wheelchair in the solarium.
He's close.
Get it on! All right. Look, I don't ask for much. I come here, I do my little silly showbiz beat.
You give and give.
I do wacky little hilarious animal voices when you spin your wheel. I'm your trained monkey bitch. I just do whatever you want. I jump through whatever hoops you ask. But now I'm asking for a favor.
What's that?
I'm asking for the entire power that is the Kevin and Bean Show to help me out. As you know, I've had a spotty, at best, acting career.
Correct.
I've had a few occasions to do some work that I've really enjoyed. Otherwise, it's been pretty much a vast wasteland for me. I need you to help me get a role in Sharktopus.
Sharktopus.
Just announced this week. The Sci-Fi Channel, which has brought us, by the way, some of the great TV movies ever, including Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus with Debbie Gibson and Fernando Lamas.
If they can beat
Lorenzo Lamas.
Why can't you?
Fernando's dead. Yeah. It'd be hard to put him in that movie. But if they would, they could. They've just announced that Roger Corman, legendary B-movie king Roger Corman, will be directing Sharktopus. What happens when a shark and an octopus mate? Bad stuff, my brother.
That has good things written all over it.
You got a giant shark's mouth with 8 arms to grab you and eat you with. I want us to call Sci-Fi and get me a role in Sharktopus.
Call Sci-Fi.
Even if it's just being eaten. I need, whatever with Al Pacino, I need to co-star with Sharktopus.
Sure.
Oh, I can do it, too. Look out, Sharktopus! I can be that guy. Thank you. Thank you very much. Put me on the bow of a boat and in a sailor's hat.
Ooh. Now,
I like it.
I don't know very much about it. Look at that. It's got 8 arms and a shark's mouth. It's Sharktopus!
I don't know very much about this movie, but is it a bigger than a regular shark or regular octopus? I mean, is it huge? Is that the
Bean.
the drama here?
Don't you know about Sharktopus?
I don't. I'm trying to figure out. I mean, a shark is kind of scary and an octopus is kind of scary. Put them together, you get a Sharktopus. I get that. But if it's a regular size, it seems like it'd be pretty easy to avoid.
Is
it 300 feet tall and it's going to engulf an entire city?
But it's not that big either. It's somewhere between
those. How big is it?
Go online. Look up Sharktopus images.
You have your head up your ass.
You'll see it. There are many artist renderings of what Sharktopus will look like.
Okay.
All I can say is I've never been this excited.
Well, I think you deserve the role.
Thank you so much.
You're probably the only one so far talking about it right now.
I have more heat about Sharktopus right now.
They owe you.
Than they've ever experienced. And I need to be part of Sharktopus.
I agree.
Well, that looks like somewhat like an octopus, but also a lot like a shark.
I'm going to punch you right in the head.
Hence, Sharktopus. Speaking of dangerous pusses, Jocelyn James, Tiger Woods' girlfriend... Thank you very much. Went to Us Weekly magazine and said, when will these mistresses just shut up?
Never.
Hey, remember I had sex with Tiger Woods? Well, yeah, I also got pregnant twice by him, she told Us Weekly magazine. Jocelyn James is the porn star who's best known for her work in Big-Breasted Nurses and My Sex Teacher Number 12. She tells Us Weekly that she miscarried the first child and then ended the second pregnancy because she didn't want to ruin anything with her very married boyfriend.
Oh, I'm sure that announcement helps.
She is a champ.
Yeah.
Maybe she should star in Sharktopus.
Nope, just you.
Just me. Sad news. It's sad when on-screen love can't make it in real life. Star Magazine is reporting that the Big Bang Theory couple, Hayley Cuoco and Johnny Galecki...
Ooh.
Have split up after 2 years of being together. They were together on screen, of course, and off screen, which has to make going to work tough.
Yeah, I would think so.
Remember when you and I broke up, Kevin?
Oh, it was rough.
Oh, that first year was very difficult.
I think you took a lot of aggression out of them.
Now we're good friends.
Not really.
Cuoco and Galecki, with names like that, they can't make it work. Who has a chance, really?
What happened?
What happened, indeed. And lastly, speaking of love gone wrong, Kim Kardashian and Reggie Bush apparently not doing too well.
Really?
Wow. It's according to Star Magazine. Kim Kardashian grabbed Reggie outside of a club after the Super Bowl and forced him to pose for photographers because she wanted her picture taken.
Oh, dear God.
They got into a fight. He pulled away, pushing her, yelling, "I just won the Super Bowl. This is my night, not yours."
Good for you.
You know, he should explain something to her, the back of his hand.
No.
I've seen it. She cannot take a punch. I've seen that episode. Dude, just a jab. Probably do it. Got to get it done.
Yeah, I don't think that's what
he can't just now be finding out that she's a fame whore, right? I mean, he's had to deal with that since they've been dating, right?
He's a bit of a publicity whore, yeah. Look, that's the price you pay. And it's not too high a price, in my opinion.
And according to you, Ralph, if you just get a hand on him, he can't get away. So
that's right. She should have just, like, nudged him. And he would have dropped to the ground and probably fumbled whatever he was carrying. Today's celebrity birthdays. William Catt, the greatest American hero, is 59 years old today. Actor Jeremy Bullock, who played Boba Fett in The Empire Strikes Back.
He was good.
Well, he's 64 years old today. But he's not doing much bounty hunting now, is he? He's 64. LeVar Burton.
Woo!
He is 53 years old. Sadly, we don't have time for Reading Rainbow. Next year, people. Andy Taylor's Duran Duran, or Duran Duran's Andy Taylor, is 49 years old today. Dave Lombardo of Slayer is 45. And Taylor Hawkins, our buddy from Foo Fighters, turns 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
Sharktopus.
This is the Kevin DeBean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have the host slash punching bag of Fox Sports Sports Medicine.
Sharktopus.
Sports science, too.
That, too.
Sports science.
R. Kelly is back to making videos. Can't wait to show you those.
Oh, no.
Can't wait.
Oh, no. Are they damp?
Oh, they're the best.
Are they damp?
No.
Oh, thank God.
He's not peeing.
Okay.
They make you want to get someone pregnant, though?
They do not. No.
Oh, wow. Do they have a Sharktopus in them?
They do not.
All right.
No, they're not interesting, but in a really exceptional way. And also a guy that's doing a one-man Superman show on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music next, including some Nirvana. Also, The Bravery, Face to Face, Smashing Pumpkins, Damian Marley, and so much more right after this on K-Rock.